This is The Other Side of Midnight.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
With Lionel.
Walter M. Sterling for Lionel, an honor, a privilege. Thank you, Lionel, for letting me share this time with your listener. I appreciate it. 5 minutes past the hour, 5 minutes past the hour. James Flippin, news director, Red Apple Audio. Updates on two major stories. I did not want it to wait a couple hours. Let's put the news director on. Pulse of the Nation, informative, objective. James, welcome. Let's talk about the horrendous events that happened outside New York's Gracie Mansion today.
Well, Walter, it was actually the third bomb that was found today out in the Upper East Side of Manhattan in a parked car, a black Hyundai, where cops found a improvised explosive device, if you will. This was after two of them were recovered yesterday from the scene of, or, you know, what I should say, 2 days ago. The same scene near there, Gracie Mansion, where Mayor Mamdani, Zohran Mamdani, and his wife live. These two men, 18-year-old Amir Balat and 19-year-old Ibrahim Kayumi, are accused of bringing what amount to glass jars wrapped in black tape, packed with an explosive, packed with screws and nuts and bolts and nails, and the kind of pipe bombs that we've seen in some of these terrorist attacks of the past. Now, these are two young men who reportedly previously trained with ISIS in Turkey and other so-called hotspots. They also have addresses in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, that have been searched in the wake of their arrest, and also maybe in New Jersey. But what was happening, Walter, were these dueling protests, so to speak, on Saturday. And obviously most people know that Zohran Mamdani being the first mayor in New York City that's Muslim, it's attracted a lot of different attention with regards to these geopolitical conflicts, including Israel-Palestine, including obviously the ongoing war in Iran, and I know we're going to get there in a second. But the Upper East Side of Manhattan, Gracie Mansion, the mayor's official residence, this kind of became the hot point for this ongoing culture war, if you will, the Israeli-influenced, more Western side on the one end of it, and then the sort of more Muslim-influenced pro-Palestine side. And really what's happening right now is so much of it centered on the war in Iran and how people are responding to that. But Zohran Mamdani, his wife, Rama Duwaji, they were inside the mansion at the time, and they were not hurt. Thankfully, nobody was, because these bombs did not explode, even though they contained this explosive that's known as the Mother of Satan. It's a common sort of homemade explosive known as Mother of Satan, TATP, acetone peroxide. So that's what you have, Walter, these two teenagers who are in custody right now, 18-year-old Amir Balat, 19-year-old Ibrahim Kayumi, and the connections to overseas ISIS groups, and also addresses in Pennsylvania.
James Flippin, news director, Red Apple Audio Networks. James, I cannot tell from the names. Perhaps it's a shortcoming of my upbringing. Do we know the background of those two cowards?
Well, I mean, that's what's being dug into right now by the investigators. Obviously, the FBI is involved. They've been provided with these homemade pipe bombs, if you will, these IEDs. And as I was saying, there are reports that these are teenagers who were sort of self-radicalized, who had spent time overseas with either ISIS groups or groups that purported to help ISIS or wanted to help ISIS. I know for sure Turkey is a place that I've read they spent time in. And these protests, these dueling protests, if you will, part of the reason why it's so much a touch point with the cultural war is this guy Jake Lang was organizing a, I guess what you could call, anti-Muslim protest on Saturday, the Stop the Islamification of New York City protest. And, you know, Jake Lang is a guy who's run for Senate in Florida. He was arrested during the January 6th events. He is definitely a provocateur, if you want to use that word. And he was organizing this protest to begin with. probably about 20 people showed up for that. But then there was a pro-Muslim protest that had about 125 people, and that's where these two guys, 18-year-old Amir Blatt and 19-year-old Ibrahim Kayumi, were part of that group. And it's very dramatic video, Walter. You can see it, where the one kid, the younger one, Amir, lights up what's the homemade hobby fuse, if you will, and then he tries to go ahead and throw that while cops are trying to get him and hold him down. And as I said, it thankfully didn't explode, but it very easily could have. And the reports are saying that this is something that could have done a lot of damage and caused a lot of problems for the people there because of obviously all the shrapnel involved and because of the explosive being this mother of Satan that can very easily explode just with friction, impact, heat, any of that type of stimuli can cause it to explode, even just dropping it in some instances. That's how unstable this kind of bomb is.
James Flippin, you mentioned it, and I have very short-term memory problems. How old were these people?
The one who actually tried to throw off the bombs and did go back to get another one, 18. His alleged accomplice, 19.
Where are the parents? They went over and got self-radicalized. How do you get self-radicalized? They went over to some strange country like Turkey when they were 16, 17-year-old and, quote, got radicalized. Where are the parents?
Well, now, I mean, that's something that still has to be figured out, obviously, Walter. But, yeah, there's a lot of people asking those questions online and in social media saying, hey, this directly connects to a lot of the debates we have on immigration.
Now, they were at a protest, a Muslim protest. Were they in favor or against? Because, again, I'm very confused about this.
Well, you're right to be confused because the thing sort of took on a political mind of its own early on Saturday or right afterwards on Saturday, because even a guy like Brad Hoyleman Siegel, who's the Manhattan Borough president, he took to X and blasted this guy, Jake Lang, who I mentioned a few minutes ago, as being the person who threw the bombs. Now, later, when that turned out not to be true, he deleted that X post and sort of fell back on, well, this guy Jake Lang started everything in the first place because nobody would have been there if he hadn't set up his protest. So, no, the reports are, the indication is, that these two guys that are in custody right now are of the pro-Muslim variety and that they do have, at least per the reports, connection to ISIS groups. And the sort of immediate knee-jerk reaction from many on the left, both politically and in the news, were to say, oh, this was something where this far-right provocateur had this event set up, and that's what led to the bombs being thrown. But actually, it was this group. By the way, it was a larger protest. The counter-protest, probably not shocking to anybody listening right now, Walter, the counter more pro-Islam protest was bigger in New York City than this one organized by this Jake Lang guy from Florida. So the two suspects were on the side of being in opposition to Jake Lang. That's how I'll say it.
All right, completely confused, but you've explained it well, but the shortcomings in my public school education have confused me because I don't understand why, and we can't answer it now, but I don't understand why pro-Muslim groups, pro-Muslim protesters were throwing bombs at a Muslim mayor's house. Mighty confusing. James Flippin, news director, Red Apple Audio Networks. The other big news, obviously, is, and again, shortcoming in my education, there's a new head of Iran. The Ayatollah's son, son has announced that he will now be in charge. But then at the same time, we started seeing quotes and video of the president of Iran. I'm like, what do you mean the president? They had a president all this time? There was like a president guy, a normal guy who had a profound and, quote, normal education. And an impressive education, an impressive business background. Where did this guy come from, this president? What is he in charge of? And now we have the Ayatollah's son What is he in charge of? Can you explain this for me, James?
Sure. The president of Iran or Iran, because I always email for the way that I say it, because I tend to say.
Well, they're wrong. You're right. Just go ahead. They're wrong. You're right, James. Go ahead. You're the news director. You get to be in charge.
The president is technically the second in charge, and the guy who was just dispatched last weekend, Ayatollah Khomeini, Ali Khomeini, the guy who had been in power since 1989, he was actually the president before then. So he was president when the original Ayatollah was in charge as supreme leader from 79 to 89. And then when he passed away, the most recent Ayatollah, Ali Khomeini, took over, having previously been president. So president, we think of it as the top dog, but not in Iran, to the extent that the supreme leader who's chosen by the mullahs or the clerics or whatever, the panel of experts, I guess they call it, assembly of experts. Mashtubah Khomeini is now the new supreme leader, and we had heard his name put out there a few days ago that he was going to be the next guy. However long he lasts as the supreme leader is probably anybody's guess, because Israel has said that they're going to still launch attacks against whoever the new supreme leader is, because in their mind, that's part of the military apparatus. So they're not letting up and saying, oh, okay, well, maybe this guy will be better or something like that. They're figuring it's the next general in charge. Now it's Mashtubah Khomeini. But no, technically speaking, the president is the second in power. They are not as influential as the supreme leader, which now will be the son of the most recent Ayatollah. This will be Mashtubah Khomeini. So we'll see how long he lasts, because as I said, the attacks are still coming for both the U.S. and Israel.
What's important to our president and to us, which of these clowns gets to offer unconditional surrender? Who gets to surrender to us?
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, obviously President Trump has said that he wants to be involved in the picking of the successor. I've read reports that he's not happy with this choice, calls it, you know, unacceptable. He has talked about, as you alluded to there, Walter, the unconditional surrender being the only thing that's going to be accepted. And over the weekend, we had new attacks from the Israeli military where they set fire with their missiles and airstrikes to some oil storage units. And I also was reading where there was a super tanker that was able to get through the Strait of Hormuz, which should kind of put some downward pressure on oil prices, which has been such a crazy thing over the last few days. But it's all still very much up in the air. And I guess the fact that President Trump said he's not a huge fan of this guy, Mashtubah, and wants to see somebody else potentially be that person to offer the unconditional surrender would make you think that it's not going to go too well for this guy, Mashtubah. But we shall see.
My friends who were in military intelligence have repeatedly told me that it is the Straits of Hormuz that control the price of oil for the world. A remarkable percentage of oil goes through the Straits of Hormuz for the entire world. It's remarkable how much oil goes through there, is controlled through there. That is the key to our military initiative, plus demanding an unconditional surrender from whoever it is who runs Iran. James Flippin, news director, Red Apple Audio Networks, thank you very much for being on the Lionel Show tonight with Walter M. Sterling. Thank you, sir. Walter
thank
M. Sterling,
you, Walter.
At about 20 minutes past the hour, this is the Red Apple Audio Network.
The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel on the Red Apple Podcast Network. Other Side of Midnight with Lionel.
The Other Side of Midnight. The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel. I'm Walter M. Sterling. It's an honor to be with you because this is the greatest audience in American radio. This is the biggest all-night show in American radio. The reason it's such a privilege to be with you is it's just you and me. I am 14 inches from this microphone. You are 14 inches from that speaker. There we are in the cab of the 18-wheeler. We're walking the baby. We're working in the firehouse, third shift, the great shift. Police officer, thank you. I'm not going to say that annoying thank you for your service. I've always thought that was just so stupid. How dare anybody who does not walk out the front door every day with a gun on their side because they might need it, how dare I say to somebody, thank you for your service? You don't work for me, except in a spiritual sense. You work for the community. You work for all of us. I appreciate that, but thank you for my freedom of speech. Thank you for my ability to share ideas and information, because that is my right. You and I can't imagine, unless you're a police officer, but you and I can't imagine what it's like. What do you grab when you go out in the morning? What do you grab? You grab your cell phone, which is overpriced, and the bill is insane. I mean, what the heck is that? And your keys, and then you head out. But a police officer, keys, phone, and a gun. And the reason for the gun is she might need it. Respect, training, judgment, all in about a nanosecond that separates them from the rest of us. We can't imagine what it's like. They can talk about it, express it. It's not even going to touch it. You and I can talk at any time. It's a better show if we do. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Walter M. Sterling. Now, tonight, you and I are going to, we have to indulge in a few of these things because this is a talk radio show, and by law, I have to talk about Mr. Epstein and my latest theory on what the hell that was all about. Jeez. And the tragedy of Savannah Guthrie's mom. I don't understand why Savannah came back to work when she came back to the Today Show. 2 weeks ago, she promised us she wasn't going to come back, which I viewed was a good move even before her mother disappeared. And then an amazing event took place in the past 10 days. There's a uniformed, high-ranking military official in New Mexico, apparently knew a little too much about UFOs. A man healthy as could be, healthier than you are. Look at that pizza next to you. I know you. You don't wake up next to women you can't remember. You wake up next to pizza boxes you don't remember. Here's this high-ranking military official. He disappeared. Oh, what was he focused on? UFOs. In New Mexico, went out for a walk. Mid-60s, healthy, military shape, disappeared. And then I'm going to share with you something I heard about when I was a kid, and I can't believe this still exists, about the ringing rocks of Upper Black Eddy, Pennsylvania. The ringing, you know about the ringing rocks? I didn't think so. And then, oh, I'm so sad. Jennifer Runyon passed away. Jennifer Runyon passed away, which took me down a rabbit hole of television theme songs from the 90s that I'm like, you know, I really miss that television theme song. A lot more to deal with. We have so much to talk about tonight, which is a good thing, because how long is this show? 8-9 hours? That's what I thought. The Other Side of Midnight, 26 past the hour. Epstein, Guthrie, what should we do first? Let me go through the Guthrie thing, and then we'll do the Epstein thing, and then we'll be done with our moral obligation as American talk show hosts. Our moral obligation. Yes, and thank you. I've been getting nice notes saying, boy, it's really good to hear you actually on an AM station and not on an app. I agree. How's the how's the processing? Impressive? Good? It's got that thing going on? Yeah, anyway. Savannah Guthrie's mom. We all know she disappeared over a month ago. Savannah promised us she was not going to come back to the Today Show. I'll never work again. I will never work again. I watched the Today Show never. Like, never. I lost interest in it a long time ago. And not for some high moral principle or because I'm watching Meet the Press or any of that. No, it's just, Well, anyway, I'm sorry about Savannah's mom. I'm sorry you lost your mom, but this is what I think happened. And this is my opinion, and I don't need to be deposed. This is my opinion. You ready? right outside Savannah Guthrie's mom's door that night, there was not a scuffle. There was a fight. There was a violent event. And that's where the blood is. There was a little blood inside, but mostly it was on her porch. And then she disappeared. Cops will tell you, the odds are whoever killed somebody was the last person they were with. Now, again, this is horrible. But her son-in-law looked like Rasputin. You've seen pictures of her son-in-law? Looked like Rasputin. We haven't heard a peep from Savannah about the son-in-law. We haven't heard a peep from her sister about her husband. But every time I look at him and I go, whoa, 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 you get that feeling? You know when you've been looking at apartments, when you've been looking at houses, and you're examining it with your family, you walk in, sometimes you walk into that room, to that front entranceway, and you go, no, not here, and you turn around and go out. You just, that's it, goodbye. We're not staying here. Why do you say that? Because you have an empirical feeling. You have a hunch. You get spooked. Other places you can walk into and not get that feeling at all. And then there are other places that are magic, and you're ready to sign the lease or you're ready to sign the deed. And those are amazing places because they feel good. I'm looking at this guy, this Savannah Guthrie brother-in-law, mom's son-in-law, and I'm like, I don't get a good feeling about him. I'm not saying he committed murder or any act of violence, but I'm not getting a good feeling about this guy. And that is the only one in the case besides the wacky sheriff, the Green Acres sheriff, who I'm not getting a good feeling about. And nothing else makes sense, does it? Nothing else makes sense. I also believe that if there was a kidnapping, there would be a live person. If it was a kidnapping and a ransom, ransom notes come with return addresses. Where's the return address? We haven't heard one peep about where to send the money. And crypto, are you nuts? What kidnapper would want to transact anything in crypto for something that's impossible to understand, that Warren Buffett goes, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure. Warren Buffett, I'd rather collect stamps. Maybe I'd do better as stamp investing than crypto. But there are ways to track who the crypto is receiving, who's getting it, who is being sent to, even though we can't find out who invented it. Where are these mines? Where are the crypto mines? And they're in China. Where in China? We know nothing about China. You pretend to know about China. Yes, I'm an expert in China. No, you're not. There's no return address, odd for a kidnapping. There is no body to say, yes, here's your mother, and if you want your mother, you will give us $10 million in crypto. But it gets more interesting than that. I believe what else could have happened. Let's say it was supposed to be a kidnapping. Let's say it wasn't a wacky relative who was really ticked off at that woman, because that woman, Savannah's mom, had money, both because Savannah gave her money, I'm sure. Your daughter makes $10 million a year. Could I have a little taste of that, honey? Remember all those times I changed your diaper? I need a little taste of that, please. And just $500,000. I'll put it in the bank. I'll let it collect interest. She had at least that much, but she had an expensive home. The value of the home was significant. And remember, she was in her mid-80s. It's possible that some relative went to dinner with her and they argued over the inheritance. That would be a logical argument to have. In your family, did you ever argue over money? Has that ever happened in anybody's family? No, of course not. It's possible they went to dinner and they argued over money. He's leaving, she's leaving, whoever, and drops her off at her home. And she says, now, I'm not changing my mind. The mom says, I'm not changing my mind. And they get into a fight. And in the process of the fight, on purpose or not, she dies. Well, now the person who had the fight has a problem. And the problem is they have a body. And they can't let it clearly be them because they're a relative or a friend or something, right? And now they make up this story. They take her body away, drop blood. They take her body away, and they make up a kidnapping scenario. They make up this kidnapping. I know this sounds like a Lifetime movie, but they make up this Lifetime movie scenario. Terrible thing. I'm sorry. I should not smile. Forgive me. But I'm a horrible person. I'm from New Jersey. Things happen. That's what I think happened. They had a fight. The woman died. Heart attack, something. Fell on the ground. A little blood came out. That wasn't a lot of blood. They take the body away. And now they have to come up with a scenario that she was kidnapped. Yeah, that's it. She was kidnapped. Yeah, she was kidnapped. Yeah. Because they had to backtrack. And the only way they thought they could do it, rather than telling the truth, admitting that they were wrong, feeling terrible, not doing anything to incite her death, nothing, they make up this wacky story, because this was no kidnapping. Kidnappings have a return address. Here's where you send the money. And kidnappings have a cash. I want cash. I want crypto. You and I have no, if we said, okay, give me $10 million in crypto, you wouldn't know if you had received it. You wouldn't know how to retrieve it. And I'm sure the guy in the bad, whoever wore a crochet ski mask in Arizona, that guy in the ring camera, he had a crocheted, or she had a crocheted mask on. It's all a lot of nonsense. I believe the woman was dead that night, and they had to make up a story. How do you feel? 800-848-9222. I'm Walter Sterling at 800-848-9222. It's 35 past the hour, 35 past the hour. It's a beautiful night throughout most of North America and Bermuda. You want to really torture yourself? I'm not recommending this, but when your children are making you crazy or the person you work for makes you crazy, let me suggest that you check the weather in Bermuda. Every time I check the weather in Bermuda, it always says the same thing, 67 degrees. It's always 67 degrees. Have you ever been to Bermuda? It's a 90-second travelogue. The beaches are really pink. The sand is really pink. Looks nothing like Long Beach Island. Long Beach Island, the sand is never pink unless there was trouble. The sand is really pink in Bermuda. It is always 67 degrees. It is always 67% humidity. And then there are cultural aspects. If you haven't been to Bermuda, you may not realize that it's not in the Caribbean or Caribbean if you're pretentious. It's about 150 miles off the coast of North Carolina. That's where it is. It's not the Caribbean, which I strongly recommend against. It is 150 miles off the coast of North Carolina, and the other aspect to it that's fascinating, they love us. People in Bermuda send their kids to private schools in New York City. Their currency is American money. And until the troubles, you could get in and out of Bermuda with an American driver's license. You did not need a passport. Oh, and did I mention it's a 90-minute flight? It's insanely great, and it's very British. They really like us. Oh, look at that. My software to connect to the phone banks, that disappeared. This is how it's going to go tonight. I feel strongly this is how it's going to go tonight. No, we're going to have a great time. That's my impression, that when in doubt, go to Bermuda. But if you want to park your resentment someplace other than your boss, your kid's teacher, that person you married that your mother and father said, don't, please don't, look at the weather for Bermuda. Because it's always perfect and always an opportunity for a resentment. Walter M. Sterling on the other side of midnight for Lionel. Good evening. Plus, we're going to talk about the Ringing Rocks, Jennifer Runyon. I can't believe she passed away. And what do I do about my male cat? What do I do about my male cat? I've had this male cat now for 9 years. It has never stopped peeing. Perhaps you have a suggestion for me. when I sit down and I come up with ideas for this show, powerful, important, ratings grabber ideas, I get honest. I try to get to a place of honesty within myself and my soul. And I get inside my soul and I go, what is it that I really care about? What do I really want to talk about? And what are the things that really bother me? Maybe some of these things affect you. If the check engine light goes on in the car, that will supersede anything in the newspaper. That will supersede anything on the radio, on TV. The check engine light can ruin my day and control my agenda. I have to then spend the rest of the time trying to figure out why is the check engine light on and what am I going to do about it. Then, if the cat peed anywhere, I have a problem. If the cat peed anywhere, I have to figure out why. But what has happened is it has progressed. My male cat does it more and more. Female cats, no problem. Now I know why all his life. My father always said, no male cats. This was his driving opinion. No male cats. And then you and I have to talk about this astonishing horror at our airports around the country. There are 4, 5, and 6 hour waits for security. 4, 5, and 6 hour waits to get through security. What did I write down here? See, I'm left-handed. Oh, and then let's talk about this. We started by talking to our news director, the Red Apple Audio Network's news director. We started by talking to him about the bombs that were thrown at Gracie Mansion, which confuses me because apparently these were Muslims who threw these bombs, and the mayor is Muslim. But the mayor also started out with a terrifying pledge, which is that he was going to cut down on the police and increase the number of social workers. And then today he amped it up. What did he do today? He made an announcement that he's seriously thinking about eliminating free parking spaces in New York. Now, you've been to New York. You might live in New York. That's entirely possible. If you live in New York, you know that that was a total lie, saying that there are what? What did he say? It was like 3 million. There are 3 million free parking places in New York. That's nonsense. I'm like, there are no 3 million free parking spaces.
The Mamdani administration is exploring every avenue to fill a large hole in the city budget, and a new plan could hit drivers hard by making them pay for free parking spaces around the city. And there are millions of those free spaces.
What if that spot on the street was only available if you paid for it? Driver Richie Cruz wonders.
Somebody may be making over $200,000, could afford maybe a good $20,000, $30,000 to buy a spot like this for the year. But somebody down the block who only makes the minimum salary, how could they afford a parking spot?
But what if the city's 3 million free parking spaces weren't free? Manhattan Borough President Brad Hoylman-Siegel says that could help residents find spaces and raise money.
What? What? No. Now, let me share with you. This is the worst idea ever. I have a different idea. And my idea, which is right, I have to send my buddy Matt a note here, which is right. Make all the parking spaces free. Get rid of the meters. Get rid of the alternate side of the street parking. Get rid of all of it. And here's why. If every parking space in New York City was free, retail business would go up dramatically. Retail business would improve stupendously. In other cities, I know it's always a bad example. Any other city is a bad example. In other cities, it's a huge promotion that you can park right in front of our store, free parking right behind the store. Entire districts, entire downtowns, free parking, because they know if it's easy for you and me to park there, retail business will improve. And we're not, because what happens? You pull up, you have 8 seconds to go into CVS. You run in, you buy one thing, you run out. Well, that hurts CVS. you might have needed 10, 20 things. You might have had the money to buy 10 or 15 things, and you would have if you didn't have to run out to avoid a $180 parking ticket, which is about the norm here, isn't it? It's about the norm in New York City. There are other cities, there are other downtowns, where they're so desperate to get parking on little narrow streets, the cars pull up onto the curb. They pull up onto the sidewalk and just leave it there until a cop comes along. In fact, in some cities, it is a tradition to park on the sidewalk because that's how desperate the parking situation is. Wouldn't it be great if New York City said, you know what? Alternate side of the street parking, insane. The weird meters where you have to, like, sort of know where you are and put it into an app. I can't begin to tell you. If you don't live in New York, you can't imagine the horror show of parking. You may have heard about it. Maybe you visited once at the holidays. You saw how bad it was. There's a theme here that the alleged mayor, the theme is this. Elites have cars. What? Elites have cars. And that's just a horrible, cruel lie. Because most people who have cars in a city like New York are not elite. They have sick relatives. They have handicaps. They need a car to get around. And they're the opposite of elite. They cannot afford a $20 cab ride to go three blocks. They cannot afford an Uber ride for $50 to go 10 blocks. They don't have the money to get transportation. Handicap, serious problem. A certain age, a serious problem to get on a bus. Now, Mr. Mondavi, what's his name? If he means it, if he wants to help the city, and I'm going to do this topic for about 8 seconds, and then we'll be done. But if he wants to help the city of New York, which can only help the country, then he will do everything he can to make it possible for a parent in New York to not need a car. Well, how would a parent not need a car? How would a relative not need a car? The way he wouldn't need a car is if it was absolutely safe to get on public transportation. If it was completely safe to get on a subway. Forget getting on the subway. If it was safe to get on the elevator to go from the street to the subway platform. Start there. Well, what, you're kidding me? It's not safe to get on an elevator? These are glass-enclosed elevators. Yeah, but I'm talking about the feces in the bottom of the elevator. I'm talking about whatever the hell that is smeared on the glass of the elevator in any station. Any station. But if you really want to test it, make the Fulton Street station clean. Start, forget safe. Make it clean. Get the feces out of the elevator, off the stairs. Get them cleaned all the time. Bonus track, an amazing fact I'm going to tell you. I only was there once. I'm not a fancy person. I'm Walter Sterling. Good evening. On the other side of midnight for Lionel, an honor to be here. But if you've ever been to Paris, this is true. It's hard to believe. I know. It's New York, not Paris. I know. Follow along. They have bathroom attendants in the subways in Paris. Men and women, they go into a bathroom that's clean enough and has an attendant which makes it safe enough. We've had bathrooms open for 10, 20 minutes at a time in the history of New York City subways. They're not open now, but that could be done. You want to give people jobs, Mr. Mayor? There's a pretty good job. But that's the opportunity. If you want people to take public transportation and lower the need for cars in the city, make the public transportation safe. I shouldn't have to get on a bus and know which seat I shouldn't sit on because I know that something was put on that seat before me. And that happens too often. And then, if you haven't visited the city in a while and you take the subway, you go down to get the subway, and you go, oh my gosh, this is great. There's an empty car. This is amazing. There's a whole empty car. Don't get on that car. No matter what you do, don't get on that car. That's what needs to be fixed. Then we won't need automobiles, except for extraordinary situations such as transporting a special needs kid that has to get to a special school, and the fastest, easiest, safest way is for mommy or daddy or relative to put them in a car, a private car, and take them. But it is no luxury. It is an incredible waste of money to have a car in New York City. By the way, you haven't been in the city in a while? One other fact about car ownership. You know what it costs to park a car in a monthly spot, in a vaguely okay spot? I'm not even talking about a good place, just a place where you'd only have to travel 30 or 40 minutes to get to your car. That's about $800. What you're paying for rent now in Pittsburgh, KDKA in Pittsburgh, what you're paying for rent in a two-bedroom apartment in Pittsburgh, that's what it costs to park a car in New York City on a monthly basis. All right. Those are my deep thoughts about safety in New York and about car ownership. I can't believe this mayor has actually said today he wants to eliminate free parking. And then one of his clown assistants is saying, well, there are about 2.5 million free parking spots in Manhattan. In New York City, not Manhattan. In New York City, about 2.5 million. No, there aren't. It is high math. It is SAT math to figure out when you can park in those free parking spots. Alternate side for 90 seconds every other Thursday. You can park there for 90 seconds every other 30. It's free. It's all free. Here's my phone number. Let's talk. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. 50 minutes past the hour with Walter Sterling, Other Side of Midnight, for Lionel, Red Apple Audio Network.
The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel on the Red Apple Podcast Network. Other Side of Midnight with Lionel.
Oh, look at that. Walter M. Sterling, Other Side of Midnight for Lionel. Giant phone calls. You ready? 800-848-9222. Liz in Florida. Where in Florida are you, Liz? How jealous am I? Hi.
Oh, it was 82 degrees today. I'm in Aventura.
Yes, of course you are. Are you near the mall, the overpriced mall?
Yes, I am.
And is Saks still there? Is Bonwood still there? The expensive store is still there? Neiman Marcus, needless markup?
Nordstrom is there. Bloomingdale's
yes.
is there.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. It is a beehive of activity for women of a certain age and income level.
I think it's all ages, actually.
thank you for calling. What can we do for you today? How are you going to be the media? Now you are the media.
First of all, you're wonderful. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
I wanted to just discuss Nancy Guthrie. I think your opinion about her is spot on. And I always say from the beginning, look at the family, and it has to be about money. I'm even wondering if you should look at the sheriff too, because due to his behavior.
No, listen, that's a good one, Liz. I mean, he could be getting a taste too.
Listen, money is, it does cause a lot of evil. But here's my thoughts. You know, seniors, they talk to each other. They discuss everything about their families to their friends. Mm-hmm. You know, they could be playing cards, they could play Mahjong. And I always thought that they should reach out to all of Nancy's friends and talk to them. Because can you imagine... You know, she could be saying, you know, that son-in-law of mine, you know, he had the chutzpah to ask me for money. But I think the answer to this puzzle lies with the friends. They know everything. And I don't know if they did really reach out to them.
Liz, that's a very Florida worldview to reach out to the friends. I suspect you're absolutely right. Have you seen that son-in-law? Did you see him?
I did. You know, my sister and I, we discuss this every night. We're like trying to figure this out. And we think he's guilty. And I think what they need to do, of course, the sheriff won't do it, but is talk to them with lie detector tests and see what happens.
Liz, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much for calling The Other Side of Midnight. Lionel's show, Walter M. Sterling, Linda in New Jersey, Welcome to the other side of midnight at 800-848-9222. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to say I think Liz is spot on, but I'd like to say that the recipe for New York, for solving New York, is for all the rich to leave New York City so the socialists have to go to work to pay for themselves like everybody else. And I'd like to tell you a little cat story.
Yes, when yes. Younger, yes, let me explain why you're going to tell a cat story. I explained a few moments ago that my male cat won't stop peeing, and we've tried everything. So, yes, Linda, I'd appreciate that. And, Matt, would you whisper that number in my ear again, please? And, Linda, go ahead.
Okay, I would like to say that I used to spend the weekends with my girlfriend when I was much younger, sort of like a little vacation. I'd go over to her place and her house, and she had three male cats, and they would spray on everything. They would spray. They sprayed on my blanket, and it would smell so bad that even after you laundered it, it still smelled so bad. I had to throw everything out.
Right.
And they were spraying everything, and it smelled horrible. And then when I went to sleep, as soon as that light went out, and as soon as I was drifting off, the cat jumped on my back, the male cat, and bit me in the neck and was holding me. I think it was trying to mate with me. I don't know what it was trying to do, but that was enough. I had it with male cats. And I've had three female cats, and they were like female goddesses. They were so good.
Yes.
You know, they never did anything wrong. They never jumped up on the table. They never, you know, they never sprayed, peed, or did any of that. They were just perfect little ladies.
Well, they think of themselves as goddesses as well, as you well know, Linda. And one final question about New Jersey. Where do you get your pizza?
I don't. It's a hit and miss. Nobody makes good pizza here. I haven't found anybody.
All right. Thank you very much for calling the Red Apple Audio Network. Lionel's Show with Walter M. Sterling. Brian on Long Island. Welcome to 800-848-9222. Hi.
Is Mr. Sterling your cat? Is he neutered?
How dare you ask that personal question? Yes, he's neutered. Yes.
Okay. Now, I would recommend, unless he has a serious bladder problem, do you take him to a veterinarian?
Veterinarian thinks he's a picture of health.
And what do you mean he goes to the bathroom all the time? What is he does use the litter box?
He'll use the litter box, but not to pee. He'll pee on the wall, molding, near the door, not near the door. Interestingly, near the air conditioner vents.
Cat?
What?
Did you rescue him? Is he a feral cat that you rescued, you brought in?
I did not, but we got it from someone who did.
Okay. So that's the problem. Are there other cats in the house?
His sister, who he gets along with, and another rescue cat, two girls.
He's a rescue cat who was feral outside.
Yes. And I let him outside. I let him outside, but I'd never take my eye off him because an outdoor cat is a dead cat.
Well, not necessarily, because I have a many. They live good. They live some 15, 20 years out there. But, yeah, that's the problem. They will do that at times. He has that in him. And that he might not be a good cat to keep in the house because of that. Yes, I hate to say
but,
that.
But, you know, it's when it's 20 degrees, that's a little tricky. But I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate the call at 800-848-9222. That's the challenge. He does it every day. It isn't like he does it once a month. My male cat does it every day. He pees where he's not supposed to pee every darn day. You and I are talking about Savannah Guthrie's mom, what your theory is on where she disappeared, where your opinion. We'll get to the Epstein case because, again, this is talk radio, and by law, I have to talk about Guthrie, and I have to talk about Epstein. This is the Red Apple Audio Networks.
The other side of midnight with Lionel on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
At Manhattan University, a graduate degree is not out of reach. You'll gain real-world skills, credentials, employers value, and connections to New York City's top companies. Choose from their new Master of Science degrees in healthcare, informatics, digital marketing and analytics, business analytics, or financial analytics, all built around hands-on learning and industry partnerships. Graduate ready to lead, not just work. Take the next step at manhattan.edu/graduate. Manhattan University, lead the future.
This is The Other Side of Midnight.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
With Lionel.
The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel, with Walter M. Sterling. A privilege to get to spend some time with you. Because you and I'm sorry, I have to say it, we are special because we are introverts. There is no extrovert awake at this time. None. They're asleep. They've had a buzz on for quite a few hours since at least 6 or 7 o'clock, but this is the great shift. What people, the day people, don't understand about us is that we choose to work at this time. If somebody says to me, well, you know, you could do mornings on WGN, my answer would be no. Oh, you could do mornings on KDKA, my answer would be no. No. Because there are a couple problems with doing mornings anywhere. First of all, I'd have to deal with what? Morning people. Do you want to deal with morning people? No, you don't. I don't want to work with people who celebrate getting into the office early. I'm the first one in the office. Really? You hate your kids that much? You don't like being home that much? Yeah, I'm the first one in and the last one out. Oh, that's a tragedy. I really feel sorry for you. And then after they say that they like coming in early, they say, I like team players. Really? Are you Trevor Lawrence? What do you mean you like team players? I don't. I want people who can think on their own and decide the right course for the organization, the company. That's how you be a team player. You bring in good decisions and you don't kiss up to the boss. You tell the boss when they're wrong. You tell the people you work with, listen, that's a bad idea. You could save a company millions of dollars just by saying, that's a bad idea. You won't believe this. I was in a board meeting at freaking RCA when they came out with the video disc. Yes, I'm almost that old. When they came out with the video disc, and everybody in that meeting was sitting there looking at each other like, that's never going to work. Do you remember the video disc? You put in a disc. It looked like a long playing record, except it was silver. You put it in this machine. It was right at the dawn of videotape, home videotape players and recorders. And the first thing I thought of, wait a minute, it's $800 and it doesn't have an R. There's no R. It just P's. 8 minutes past the hour. Pamela at 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. You are now the media, Pamela, and you're live on the Red Apple Audio Network. Hi.
Hi. Going with your theory, who's the dude with the 1970s ski mask and the bad leisure suit at the door? Was that just a farce? The perpetrator just trying to fake out everybody?
How do we know it was a dude?
Well, that's true. Looking at the picture, it could have been, they say it was a dude, but...
Wasn't it weird in Arizona to have a crocheted ski mask? Wasn't that crochet?
Yes, I haven't seen one of those since the 70s.
Yeah.
And the leisure suit was odd. Did you see the shoes? They were like hush puppy.
No, I didn't see the leisure suit. What color was the leisure suit? Was it lime green?
Well, with the infrared, I couldn't really tell, but it was... I don't know, look like corduroy pants or something like, you know, the jogging suits in the 70s, they match, the top and the bottom match.
Oh, I sure do.
It just reminded me of that. It was somebody whoever did this pulled something out of their closet from the past. So they had to be at least in their 40s, 50s, something like that, at least.
Well, Pamela, in your opinion, what happened?
I'm thinking what you're thinking in the lines of that, because sometimes what's that Rock'em razor, whatever, the most obvious is the obvious.
And, right.
the last person to see them. And then that weird garage door opening and closing.
Yeah.
You know, if it now, if they dropped the mama off and saw the garage door open and close while they were letting her out the front door, why did they not go and investigate that garage door opening and closing? They said they saw it open and close.
But they, you know,
we never really got the clear story on that. We never got the total story on the drop-off.
Yeah, Beer will do that. Pamela, I appreciate your thoughts. Thank you very much for calling the Red Apple Audio Network. About the lime green and about the leisure suit, there was a time when you could smoke on airplanes. I know you're not going to believe that, but there was a time when you could smoke on airplanes, and it was right when I first started flying. I think it was still in effect, and I get on there, and in my awful past, I was in business class, and I was across the aisle from a guy in a lime green leisure suit. And I was smoking, you won't believe this, a cigar. You could smoke cigars on the damn airplane. I'm smoking a cigar in this airplane because I was a very big deal. And I may have had a drink. It's hard to say. The flight attendant comes up to me and says, that man, pointing to the man in the leisure suit, he says that your cigar offends him. And I said, please tell him that his leisure suit offends me. Joan, you're on the Red Apple Audio Network at 800-848-9222. Hello, Joan. Welcome from Manhattan. How you doing?
Oh, hi. I'm okay. I had some ideas about your cat problem. First of all, there used to be a radio show. It's no longer on the radio.
Don't talk to me. No. Please don't talk to me about a boring pet show. You're much more interesting, Joan. How would I solve my male cat peeing? You tell me how to solve it.
Okay. I was going to give you an expert, an animal behaviorist.
No, stop. Stop, Joan. Let them call me. You're calling me.
Okay.
How would you solve it,
Joan? Okay, this is an idea that I did get from his show, but I won't credit the show, but the idea.
No.
Somebody had a problem where their cat, every time they entered the car, they would urinate all over the front seat. And this gentleman didn't know what to do. The answer was, and it made a lot of sense, wherever the cat shows a tendency to do that, and I guess this works better if he does it in the same or similar place all the time, and they will go back there. The smell of it will bring them back. But if you can get the smell out, put their food there. The next time the cat walks into the car, a bowl of his favorite food is sitting on the front seat. A cat will never urinate where they eat. If you train them to eat there, they will not urinate there. Now, they may go do it somewhere else, but it sounded like a very good idea. What do you think?
Joan, thank you for the call. It is a very good idea because it's the one thing I haven't tried. I have not tried to put food wherever he pees. That's because it would take a lot of bowls of food, but definitely worth the try. I'm sharing with the fact that I have a male cat that urinates wherever he wants every day, random parts of the house, but I've never tried, and he's never urinated, pretty much never urinated right by his food. Close, but never really. How would you stop a male cat from urinating? I want to know that. Plus, I want to know how you feel about this wacky plan to get rid of free parking spaces in New York City. That's the latest plan by the mayor to close a $8 billion budget gap. Now, the reason that's insane, besides the fact that it's insane and every parking spot in New York City should be free, it would improve the retail economy. It would make it much easier for the people who live there, the people in New York City, to deal with handicap, to deal with relatives who need to be in a car. Many advantages. Just make it all free. Simplify life. It'll never happen. But that's my solution. 800-848-9222. Lenny in the Bronx, welcome to the Red Apple Audio Network. Hi, Lenny.
Good evening. Good evening, Walter. Listen, I've had cats for about 40 years. I've had every kind of cat you could imagine, every breed, you name it, male, female, whatever. But let's do a quick back and forth. You say the cat is neutered, correct?
That's right.
Are you certain that the vet is qualified to have done so and done so properly?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Now, with the cat urination, is it on carpeting or is it on bare floors, like baseboards, stuff like that?
Bare floors.
Bare floors. What do you have, parquet, wood?
It's wood and also baseboards and air conditioner vents.
Air conditioner vents? Oh,
and,
okay.
And floor-length draperies.
Floor-length draperies. Okay. Very simple. There were serious... The litter that you use in the litter box, what brand do you use?
Arm & Hammer unscented.
No good. No good. You need something totally different. That Arm & Hammer is a cause of problems. Every 10 cat owners I knew, three or four of them always had that problem. They changed the litter. They got rid of the Arm & Hammer. They got like Tidy Cat, the 24/7 Tidy Cat. No more problem. Because some of these litters, they don't agree with cats. And if a cat doesn't like it, man, that's the end of the world. Try changing the litter, number one. Number two, there are supplements you can get. Get online with Chewy. Heard of Chewy?
Yes.
Get online with Chewy. Connect over to their vet department. They have solutions for these type of problems sometimes. You might want to talk to them.
Lenny from the Bronx, good advice. I will do it. I have a Chewy subscription. We get our food from them, and I will try it. Thank you very much for your advice. My male cat that won't stop peeing wherever the heck he wants. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. Three very vital subjects tonight. The insane suggestion by the alleged mayor of New York City to get rid of all free parking spaces. Now, if you've been to New York City, you know that there is, I haven't seen any of these free parking spaces. The math and the physics that it would take advantage of free parking spaces is insane. And then Savannah Guthrie, her poor mother disappeared. In my opinion, she died immediately. That wasn't the plan. And then whoever was the cause of death, whatever the fight or whatever it was, they didn't expect her to die. And then when she died, they're like, oh my gosh, what do we do now? And they came up with this wacky scenario that she was kidnapped and they needed 10 million in Bitcoin. Yeah, 10 billion. Yeah, it's a good idea. Except there's two problems. One is it came without a return address. Where am I supposed to send the Bitcoin? And the other thing is when you're a kidnapper, you like to show the person that you want the ransom for. There's been no body, no person, and no return address. 800-848-9222. Lucy in Suffolk County, welcome to the giant radio show, the biggest all-night show in American radio. Hi.
Good morning. Yes, this is in Virginia Beach in Suffolk. Yes, it is 67 in Bermuda. I called. That's amazing.
Amazing.
You're so smart.
I'm a genius.
You're a genius. And anybody look into Savannah's husband? The other thing is, left-handed people, do the teachers try to switch you when you were little, when you were young?
I'm not that old. I've heard about that, but no. We're left-handed, we're flat-footed, we have accessory naviculars. That's who we are working at this time of day. A vast, higher percentage of people working at this time of day on the great shift are left-handed. But it turns out it's not just that we use the other side of our brain, Lucy, and thank you very much for the call. It's not just that we use the other side of our brain. It's that our brains are wired completely differently. It isn't that we use the other side of our brain to coordinate. It's that we use our entire brain to process feelings and information. It turns out the studies are profound. People who are left-handed feel more deeply, are far more intuitive. Yes, creative, we have always known that. More artists, more disc jockeys are left-handed. But it's more profound than that. Lefties feel things differently and more deeply. If you have a left-handed kid, with respect, buddy, treat that kid with respect. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel on the Red Apple Audio Network.
The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel on the Red Apple Podcast Network. It's The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel.
All right, Walter M. Sterling, Other Side of Midnight for Lionel. Lionel, thank you for letting me share this time with your great audience. This is the best audience. Now, here's the pitch. You ready? If you run a business, if you are in control of a brand, if you have in charge of the marketing budget, stop wasting your time on network TV. Just stop wasting your money. Because before I was an incredibly good talk show host, I was a suit. I had Brooks Brothers suits, wingtip shoes. I'm not kidding you. What I'm about to tell you is true. Twice, I walked down the streets of New York City, and twice, people I never saw before or again stopped me and said, "Excuse me, sir, do you know where Brooks Brothers is? Could you tell us where Brooks Brothers is?" I'm that guy. Well, I also know a little bit about marketing budgets, media budgets. I have no agenda here other than the truth. And the truth is, all you know about network television is that if you make a buy today, its value will go down by the time it hits the air, because the audience will go down by the time it hits the air. You buy time on all night radio on this radio station, WGN, KDKA, KMOX, you buy time on this radio station right now, the size of the audience will be stable or increase. But more importantly, I have not seen anybody on all-night TV in a long time or on primetime TV in a long time hold up your product and say, buy this. Oh, there are slick commercials that win all sorts of awards and sell nothing. Do you remember that Johnny Carson and Ed McMahon used to hold up the product and say, buy this? I don't see Jimmy Fallon doing that. I don't see anybody doing that. That's what sells. One friend talking to another friend. You put a commercial, a message on this show, and you will move product. How do I know this? I will tell you a quick story that set my compass for life. My dad was a retailer. He needed boots on the floor and people at the door. That was his measure. Is this putting boots on the floor? Are people standing at the door? That's how he determined if a commercial worked. He owned a resort. He owned a number of retail businesses. The man believed in radio. He bought radio because it brought people to the door and boots to the floor. That's what he bought. Now, one day he realized that his son, that would be me, was interested in radio. And he said, listen, next month or two, do you want to determine where our money goes in advertising on the radio? I said, yeah, I'll do that. And he said, okay. And what did I do? I did it based on ROIs and CPMs, and I did it based on ratings. My dad never bought anything on ratings. Man had no idea how to read a rating book. What he knew was what he liked. He knew what he listened to. And what he'd listened to were shows like this, where one friend on the radio talked to him in his car on his 50-mile drive. And after about me buying his time based on numbers, not feelings, I bought it based on facts and not feelings, he came to me and he said, I was in high school, he came to me and he said, Walter, how are you going to pay for college? I went, what? He said, because if I keep buying radio the way you've bought radio, we'll be out of business. And he went back to buying radio the way he liked to buy radio, which was he bought what he liked. He bought talk show hosts. He bought personalities. He bought engaged programming, engaging programming. That's what he bought because that got results. That taught me everything I needed to know about advertising. That's what taught me everything. If you had said to him, you know, CPPs and CPMs, he'd look at you like you're crazy. I listened to Joe here, and Joe can move product. Edie, Eddie, welcome to the other side of Midnight with Walter Sterling. Hi.
Walter, I'm a left-hander. You're engaging. You are. You're very odd from the Cats to T.J. Clark's. I heard that Jim Jensen, well, in my younger days, I'm 66. He would come in and eat steak tartare there, and I went in and I got steak tartare, and I look up and there's Jim Jensen.
Nice.
I didn't want to bother him, but the next day I woke up. I felt like a caveman. I wanted raw meat. it was some experience, and I had a tenant who had a male cat. And his name was Mr. Lucky Boy, and I just happened to have a tape measure on me because I thought her son was spitting on the wall.
Dang.
And I measured. It was 9 1/4 inches, and Mr. Lucky Boy having to stand next to me, and the males have a gland that sprays. It's not urine.
Right.
And I put my tape measure down. It was 9 1/4 inches. I go, oh, it's not your son. It's Mr. Lucky Boy. And
Eddie, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate the call. Now, about steak tartare, there was a time when I was in a business where business people would come from out of town, other cities. They'd come to the city, and I would take them to lunch or dinner, and we would do business, and we'd get things done because I prefer to do business over a meal. I'm very good at it. I'm not very good at many things. I am really good at going to lunch. I know how to time the stories. I know how to pick up the check. I get it. Okay, so now I'm with this guy from San Diego who was, in fact, in a leisure suit. It was a while ago. He's in a leisure suit. We're going to lunch. And, you know, no one I worked with wore leisure suits. That just didn't happen. And he sees steak. He wanted a steak. And he says, I'll have the steak tartare well done. And the angel sat on my shoulder and put these words in my mouth. Oh, listen, Dex, the steak tartare isn't too good here. Why don't you order the filet mignon? That's how we saved it. Good evening. It's 30 past the hour. This is The Other Side of Midnight. With Lionel, I'm Walter M. Sterling on the Red Apple Audio Networks. It's a beautiful night in our country. We're flirting with spring. These are the nights when we get in trouble, where married people get in trouble. They'll have seen somebody who they flirted with 6 months ago. They'll run into them again today, and there's trouble because this weather is conducive to trouble. Let's you and I talk at 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. Do you know about the Ringing Rocks? Have you heard about the Ringing Rocks? This is an amazing story. This is in Upper Black Getty, New Jersey. And an amazing phenomena. There's a field of rocks in Upper Black Getty, Pennsylvania. And it's a field of rocks that looks like a field of rocks. Except that when you pick up one of these rocks, you can bang it with a chisel or something, and they ring. These solid rocks ring like bells.
Now, you may want to take one of these rocks with you. Don't, because it's illegal. But actually, they have found that the rocks away from their friends don't even ring. They need to be with the other rocks to ring.
You know, if I ever wanted to be a rock and roll drummer, this would be my chance. So in this challenge, we're going to talk about sounds and how we can make sounds with unconventional items, like rocks. We may even find things around our house that we can use, but please don't use a hammer and make sure you ask permission. Right now, I'm going to work on my audition tape for Billy Joel's new tour. I heard the drummer's been there a long time. And he may need a little help.
But it's amazing. In Upper Black Eddy, Pennsylvania, there is a field of rocks. These are big pieces of rock, big chunks. And if you tap on it, they ring. Then, as she just explained, the weird thing about it is they only ring if they're near the other rocks. They won't ring in general. You can't just take it home and get it to ring. It won't do that. Now, we've also heard about Britney Spears. And this poor Britney Spears, I've got to find this piece of audio for you because it's just so bizarre. This poor woman.
Honestly, I think there's a lot of groups out there that dress a lot sexier than I do. I love the way they dress, like Destiny's Child. They wear the shirts that show their bellies and Christina and Mandy Moore. But nobody ever says anything about them.
But they've always said that Britney was too sexy. Now, for how many years do we hear about Britney's fans saying, Dad, you should not be controlling her estate. She should not be under your thumb. This is, now she's in her 30s. She has two children of her own. Or is it three? And she said, I should not, what do they call it? A lord of the state? I forget what they call it. A ward of the state or something. What do they call it? And so for years, everybody saw her father. And we'd see her father on TV. We'd see video of him running from the courthouse. Remember this? We'd see her father being interviewed, and he always looked mean. He always looked mad. He was always fighting to maintain control of his daughter's $50, $60 million fortune, which grows every day if she doesn't spend it, because they're selling albums of hers. They're selling merchandise with her picture on it. That fortune is always growing. But Dad was scared. Dad was scared for her. Her fans, especially her women fans, were like, no, free Britney, free Britney. Let her be in charge of her own money. And finally, when the courts overturned the decision and he could no longer control her estate, when Dad could no longer be in charge of Britney's money, everyone went, yay, this is great. And Dad said, remember the last words Dad said, nobody understands how strong the addiction is. When he said that, I wasn't clear about what he was saying she was addicted to. Because it was showbiz, I assumed it was cocaine, she was addicted to cocaine. Well, that wasn't it. She's a drunk. There she was, arrested again for a DUI, an alleged DUI in California. She's got two kids. One of them won't talk to her. And I'm looking for this really interesting article that I had, of course, until I had to actually be on the air, and then I lost everything. Give me one second here. Because her ex-husband had a pretty strong opinion, but not the good ex-husband. Not the one who's raising the kids, not the one who's actually doing all the work. Hold on a second. Let's find this. Because what I thought this guy said was the Nile is not a river in Egypt. That's what I thought when I saw this. Britney Spears, here we go. Britney Spears reported for erratic driving at high rate of speed before a DUI arrest. Britney Spears faces a new battle with the law nearly 5 years after being released from a controversial decade-long conservatorship. That's what I was to think of. She's 44. She was arrested Wednesday, booked for allegedly driving under the influence near her Southern California home, released at 6:07 on Thursday. The womanizer singer, that was the name of her song, not a description, was allegedly spotted driving erratically at a high rate of speed while traveling southbound on 101. Now, the 101 in California, which if you haven't been there, you wouldn't know, it's a dangerous road. It's a curvy, dangerous road. The audio obtained indicated that the California Highway Patrol followed Spear for a while on the freeway and other roads in the greater Los Angeles area before pulling her over. They must have sort of figured out who that blonde was. Despite earning the Princess of Pop crown, The Gimme More musician has faced intense public scrutiny through the years, leading to a handful of legal issues. This was an unfortunate incident that is completely inexcusable, a Spears rep told Fox Digital after her arrest. Records indicate Spears is expected to appear in court May 4th. Britney is going to take the right steps to comply with the law, and hopefully this can be the first step in a long overdue change that needs to occur in Britney's life. Hopefully she can get the help and support she needs during this difficult time. There's the phrase. Her boys are going to be spending time with her. Her loved ones are going to come up with an overdue needed plan to set her up for success, for well-being. No, that isn't what has to happen. You know what has to happen. She has to admit she has a problem. If you broke your arm, it's not going to get set until you go to the ER and say, I have a problem. I broke my arm. That's what has to happen. That hasn't happened. She's not admitted that I have a problem. She's been arrested for alleged DUIs before. She's been crazy in front of the camera over and over and over and over again. Her sons don't want to be anywhere near her. It's a tragedy, but she's a drunk. And she might be an alcoholic, but she has to decide that, doesn't she? Spears broke. Okay, we know about Spears. Let's see. Her relationship with fellow teen idol Justin Timberlake, that was a disaster. She always said that the reason she's unhappy today is he didn't marry her. I think, frankly, he got off easy. Look what he got. Like, right? He did fine. How do you feel about Britney Spears? How do you feel about this situation? You and I can talk about that. Plus, Jennifer Runyon. Oh, my God. When I saw this article that Charles in Charge, a star of Charles in Charge, a star of Charles in Charge, I have to turn this off. Hold on a second. A star of Charles in Charge died. I'm like, that can't be. And then I'm looking at it and I figured it was not the one who died. Give me one second. Hold on. It's all right. It's overnight. We're together. It's okay. Charles in Charge theme. This is the sort of theme that once you get it in your head, you'll hate me for playing this because you will never be able to get rid of this once you start to hear it. You'll never get rid of it. You ready? All right, here we go. Do 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 do. Here we go.
I tried everything.
No, you didn't. Give me a second. We will get this fixed. Everything will be very smooth in one second. Trust me, it's a big radio show.
New boy in the neighborhood lives downstairs and it's understood. He's there just to take good care of me, like he's one of the family. Charles in Charge of our days and our nights.
I thought it was Nicole Eckert. I thought that's who I was reading was going to pass away. Had passed away. Because she was on Baywatch. She had a lot of problems. She hated Scott Baio. Complained endlessly. I thought she had passed away. But it wasn't her. It was Jennifer Runyon. Jennifer Runyon in the first and second season of Charles in Charge. Tragically, I know these things. Played his girlfriend. And Jennifer Runyon was beautiful. And then she was in my secret favorite movie. Do you have a secret favorite movie? A movie that you don't tell people is your favorite? I'm not talking about those movies. I'm not talking about those. It's called The In Crowd. And it was about Philadelphia the month after Dick Clark left Bandstand in Philly and went to California. She was in that. She was beautiful. Now, that theme that I played, it's going to stay in your head all night. And I'll play it again later to scratch that itch. Steve in New Jersey, welcome to The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel. Welcome. Hi.
It's Tom.
Oh, I don't know.
Tom. Hi.
Yes, buddy. Go
how
ahead.
How are you doing?
Okay, how are you doing?
Clark.
Now, wait. Who's? Wait. Stop. You're Tom?
Yes, sir.
Tom, welcome. Pleasure to speak to you. I'm Walter Sterling for Lionel. Good evening.
Good evening, Walter. T.J. Clark's 55th and 3rd.
Yes.
I used to know all those bartenders, Aldo, Louis Trozo. My story is running into Walter Cronkite at the bar.
Nice.
At T.J.'s. And right in between the dining room and the bar, that's where all the news guys hung out and the FBI guys and whoever. And across the street, Elaine's. We used to go over there. But I love your show. I love you talking about the Bell Labs. It used to be a 10 bar, and we had all those geniuses. And they had the clean room. That's when the first chips were made, and the lasers. And my uncle actually delivered Telstar to Cape Canaveral back in the day.
How did he do that? Was it a UPS truck? How did he deliver it on a flatbed truck?
That was in a box truck. And they left Bell Laboratories in Mary Hill, beautiful building with a copper roof.
Right. The largest largest research facility in the world at the time, Bell Labs in Murray Hill, yes.
And I used to get their magnets and their batteries and play with that stuff as a kid. Good memories. I love the way you talk about Maplewood. And the best pizza in Jersey for me is Natal's and Gillette.
I'll take that, Steve. What town do you live in now?
I'm in Gillette. It's Tom. And I'm in Gillette. I've been here since I'm 5.
Wow.
And came from Irvington. Still in the bar business.
Wait. You grew up in Irvington or you worked in Irvington?
I grew up. I was only 5 back then. You know, the old Olympic Park days.
All right. So.
Go ahead.
The first address that I had as a kid was on 38th Street in Irvington.
Wow.
Now, there's only one more nostalgic question I will ask you, Tom. Where'd you get the hot dogs? Where did you get hot dogs when you lived there? Where do you get hot dogs now?
It would have to be, it used to be Texas Wiener in Plainfield.
Got it. Tom, I'm really grateful that you called me. It means a lot that somebody with a shared background and I, we get to talk because we get to talk in a way others just can't. So, Tom, I hope you call me again. Thank you very much for calling The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel, with Walter Sterling. Pete, welcome to The Other Side of Midnight at 800-848-9222. Hello, Pete.
Hi there, Mr. Walter. I just want to tell you, though, I'm really glad that you are on at this time right now, a regular spoken, good thinker, deliberate thinker, and it's very educational. I loved what you were describing about left-handed before, that it is not really the left-hand side of the brain. That was very educational, as you know, because we've heard all kinds of stuff all of our life, and you cleared that up.
I appreciate the call. Thank you very much for calling. Here's some more information about being left-handed. It's kind of amazing.
Left-handed people feel differently because they carry in their hand a gift that few understand. They say left-handed people are different, and it's true. The left hand doesn't just write, it receives. It receives emotions, memories, burdens, and transforms them. That's why when a left-handed person touches, they calm. When they hug, they bring order. When they accompany someone, they heal without saying a word. Their hands are a bridge between the invisible and what the soul doesn't know how to express. But that gift also has a price. Hands that heal sometimes absorb. A left-handed person may feel tired for no reason, carry emotions that aren't theirs, or hold weights they don't understand. Because where others only look, they perceive. Where others simply live, they transform. If you're left-handed, remember, your sensitivity is not a problem. It's your medicine. Just be mindful of what you touch and release what isn't yours. Wash your hands when your soul feels heavy. Breathe when silence fills you on the inside. Your gift isn't about being strong, but about knowing how to feel.
800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel, with Walter Sterling. Rick in New Jersey, welcome to The Other Side of Midnight, America's biggest all-night radio show. Hi.
Listen, why don't you pee on the drapes and air conditioning vents and show that cat who's boss? See how he likes it.
You know, I appreciate the call and your deep thought, but the fact is that I live in a house with, thank you for the call, Rick, that I live in a house with three daughters and two female cats. I am not the boss. When I go to the hospital or the doctor and they pull the curtain and they look at me and go, do you feel safe at home? Do you feel safe at home? I'm like, no, I have three daughters and two female cats. There's no way in hell I can feel safe at home. I'm constantly under threat. And then they, you know, they giggle. They go, hoo, 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 hoo. But no, I'm like, no, I'm really, I'm not kidding. 800-848-9222. I want to also share, I got a whole bunch of things to share with you about, including there was this high-ranking military official in New Mexico who is an expert on UFOs. He knows all the information. Now, you realize the president of the United States, the greatest president we've ever had, announced about 10 days ago that he was going to release all of the files on the UFOs. He believed that Americans deserved it, that we're supposed to have this information. He believed in total transparency. And then, apparently, 3.5 million files on the UFOs disappeared. More amazing, this high-ranking military official in New Mexico, about a week ago, he also disappeared. This was a healthy guy, military build, in shape, and he's disappeared. No trace. Nobody knows what happened to him. I'll share with you the story. Get your opinions. I want to know how you feel. I'm Walter Sterling. This is The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel on the Red Apple Audio Networks.
The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel on the Red Apple Podcast Network. The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel.
We're gonna do it. Give us any chance, we'll take it. Resist any rule, we'll break it. We're gonna make our dreams come true. Do it our way. Nothing's gonna turn us back now. Straight ahead and on the track now. We're gonna make our dreams come true. Do it our way. There is nothing we won't try. Never heard the word impossible.
There are theme songs that once you hear them, you're like, oh my gosh. And that will get stuck in your head now for the rest of the evening. I have one more that I'll share with you coming up where you're going to go, darn, why is he playing that? Because I'm going to have to think about that now forever. I'm going to have to think about that for the next many hours. We'll just be thinking about that theme song. Which one?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Haas and Bepp Incorporated.
We're going to do it.
Give us any chance, we'll take it. Resist any rule, we'll break it. We're going to make our dreams.
Don't you hate me? I'll tell you a quick story about that show, about Laverne and Shirley. And then coming up, you and I will talk about William McCaskey. How do you pronounce that? William McCaskey, an expert on UFOs in the U.S. government who has disappeared. But I want to tell you this other quick story because it's worth it. It's important to me. It's important to me. There are people in life who are our personal heroes. And many other people may not like them, had a bad experience with them. But one of my personal heroes is a man named Fred Silverman. And Fred Silverman is the only man to have programmed the ABC television network and the NBC television network and the CBS television network. The only man to have programmed all three. He put Laverne and Shirley on the air when he was at ABC. He hired me at NBC. We became very close friends, because he was the most pragmatic man I've ever known. All that man knew was how to get ratings. And all I wanted to know was how to get ratings. Part of it is he didn't have an ounce of nostalgia in him. I could never get him to talk about the past. I could never get him to tell stories about television. But he invented television the way we see it today. Created how to do promotional announcements, how to schedule. He had one photograph in his office, one photograph of his career in his office, and it was a photo of Laverne and Shirley. And Laverne and Shirley turned around the ABC television network. He had put it on the air, but that was his personal favorite show. He was from Queens, and that was his personal favorite show. And when Penny Marshall came up to visit his office once, I was there. And I said to Penny, I said, you know, the only photo the man has in his office is of your show. And she says, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I said, you have to come with me. And sure enough, there was a beautiful Tiffany frame with a beautiful photo of Laverne and Shirley. That was his show. The other great Fred Silverman story is he put on Good Morning America. He decided to put that show on, but he had a problem, in that David Hartman and Nancy Dussault were the first original Good Morning America hosts. Neither of them had ever hosted a TV show before. They were stage performers and film performers. Hartman had never done live TV. Well, that was a problem because this was a two-hour live TV show on the ABC television network. And what Fred did during the first 2 weeks that it was on the air, they pre-taped it. At 3 in the morning, from 3 to 5 in the morning, was pre-taped because Fred didn't know what was going to happen. The studio was about a block from his apartment, from Fred's apartment. And Fred would go over to the control room for Good Morning America and sit in the control room in his pajamas and bathrobe and slippers and watch the show from his control room, And then when it was done at 5 in the morning, he'd go home and go back to bed. That's how he managed the high risk of putting two people who had never been on TV before on TV. And it was a huge hit, as you know. It still is a huge hit. part of the reason it was a huge hit is the week it went on the air, it had a clock on the desk. There was a clock. What do you want to know most in the morning? You want to know what time it is? The same week, coincidentally, the Today Show, for the first time in like 20 years, took the clock off of their set. They took the clock off the set. And now there was Good Morning America on screen, the most valuable thing that they could possibly show. Walter M. Sterling, The Other Side of Midnight on the Red Apple Audio Networks.
The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel on the Red Apple Podcast Network. This is The Other Side of Midnight.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
With Lionel.
Walter M. Sterling, The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel. Good evening. There are some, we did some interviews on the street with some recent college grads. Now, one of the interesting phenomena is these idiots, they're idiots who want to take away cell phones from kids in school. They want to take away cell phones from kids in high school, public schools, take it away from them. In my opinion, that is the worst possible thing you could do. I don't understand, first of all, why there has been no legal challenge, because if you're 15 or 16 and you're carrying around a cell phone that your parents gave you, that's not your phone. That's your parents' phone. They may have said, here, you can use it, but it's not yours. But it's not yours. And we interviewed some people on the street, recent college grads. And let's see how that went. Here we go.
Giant. How many times bigger is it than Earth? Like
the moon?
Yeah.
No, not bigger.
Yeah, it is.
The moon. Nah.
You just said you're so into it and you don't know that the moon's bigger than Earth.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think it is.
It is. The moon is bigger than Earth. It surely it has to be, because when you're looking at the moon from Earth, it's huge. But, like, it's so far away from us.
800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. And I want to know your feelings about Savannah Guthrie's mom. I laid out my theory, interested in yours. I'm right, you're wrong. Still interested in hearing yours. And I got to tell you, I was disappointed and surprised that Jennifer Runyon passed away. Jennifer Runyon was Scott Baio's first girlfriend on Charles in Charge. And she was beautiful and sweet. And her father was Jim Runyon, a big-time Cleveland disc jockey. He was Chicken Man. There was a syndicated show for years called Chicken Man, and he was the voice of Chicken Man. But he was a brilliant guy, and his daughter was crazy beautiful. Let's see, what else do we want to talk about? Oh yeah, yeah. Let me talk about this, because this is an astonishing story, absolutely astonishing story about a UFO expert, a true expert, and unusual in that this expert is not some wacky civilian. He is UFO expert's disappearance in New Mexico is a grave national security crisis. And now the security crisis is, where's Walter's glasses? Where are my glasses? Ah, look at this. The mysterious disappearance of a retired Air Force major general. This was a major general who had deep expertise about UFOs, who went missing without a trace February 28th. This constitutes a grave national security crisis, according to a number of very serious people. This is serious stuff. Local law enforcement said William Neal McCasland, who's only 68, disappeared after leaving his Albuquerque, New Mexico home on foot, leaving his phone behind in a missing persons investigation. This was a good-looking young man, healthy as could be. He didn't keel over. Something happened. 5 feet 11, 160 pounds. What? There, what? He's 5 foot 11 and 160 pounds? Oh, man, am I jealous. Blue eyes, Major General. This is a man with some of the most sensitive secrets of the United States in his head. According to Ross Coulthart, said in his latest edition of Reality Check podcast. Adding to that, McCaslin possesses deep knowledge about what the U.S. government might be hiding regarding extraterrestrials. Now, let me talk to you about Ross Coulthart. Ross Coulthart revealed this story on my weekend show Saturday night. Ross Coulthart works at News Nation. He has a podcast called Reality Check. He's a real journalist. He isn't like a guy who pretends to follow stories on UFO. Ross Coulthart, serious journalist, based in Sydney, Australia. Checks his facts, knows what he's talking about. And it is Ross who revealed this story on my show on Saturday night. And I will find the recording of it and I'll play it for you in moments. Please, gosh, find it. No, I can find it. But I want you to hear it. He's in Sydney, Australia, a real broadcaster, a real expert, and he's the one who said this man disappeared, and nobody knows where he is. But unlike a lot of disappearances, a lot of people who claim to be experts on UFOs, Ross actually knows. And McCaslin, serious major general, a major general disappears, an expert on UFOs. I believe it has a little to do with the fact that 2 weeks ago, the president of the United States, the best president we have had in my lifetime, announced that he was going to reveal all of the secrets about UFOs. He was going to tell the world about the UFOs. And a couple days later, like the next day, 3.5 million files vanished. Now he's on the hook saying, I'm going to tell you everything about the UFOs, but 3.5 million files have disappeared. In my opinion, there are two possibilities with the UFOs. One is either, yes, there have been downed aircraft, many of them over the years since Roswell, that have been taken by Lockheed Martin, why am I mispronouncing that name, and Bell Labs and Motorola. The government sold them what they took down, and the result is that those companies can profit by re-engineering, reverse engineering the UFOs. I grew up with a dad who worked at Bell Labs in Murray Hill, New Jersey, and my dad made business trips. And then later, when I was in my 30s, I said to my dad, Dad, where'd you go on your business trips? And he said, I went to Roswell, New Mexico. I said, what? Like, what? I had heard enough late-night talk shows and watched the History Channel enough to know that this was significant. I said to my Murray Hill dad, I said, what do you mean you went to Roswell? Why? He said, well, the reason they told me made no sense because they didn't need to do it. I was sent there to buy up all the land in Roswell that I could. Why'd they tell you they needed that? It was to test the aging in the desert of copper wire. And you'll recall, until fiber optics, the phone company, which is what Bell Labs was, the phone company depended on copper wire to transmit phone calls and other information. That's how they did it, with copper wire. Copper wire is crazy expensive, and they needed to know how long it would last, how long it would be before they had to replace it or could replace it, because the goal was not what you and I think. The goal was not to see how long copper wire would last in order for them to constantly update the phone service and make our phones work. No, 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 no. They couldn't get rid of the copper wire fast enough. The phone company couldn't wait to get rid of the copper wire. It was expensive. There was a 20-year depreciation schedule on it as a capital investment. They wanted to get out the fiber optics fast because then they could have many, many, many more services that they could charge you and me for many times over. All they could do on copper wire is diplex. All they could do is send multiple phone calls, voice calls down the same line. That's all they could do. They couldn't do caller ID, call waiting, picture phones, pictures, video. They couldn't do anything else. But now that they can, they're charging us like crazy. They couldn't wait to get rid of the copper wire. They needed to run their business, and that's why they needed to know, how long is the copper wire going to last? They couldn't get rid of it soon enough. They sent my dad out to Roswell, New Mexico, to buy up all the land that he could. And he bought up a lot of land, but the reason he said they didn't need to do that, and this is where it gets very spooky, they didn't need to do that. Because Bell Labs in Murray Hill, the largest research facility in the world, also had the hottest furnace in the world and the coldest room in the world. Everything they needed to test the extremes of weather on copper wire was in the Murray Hill facility. They also had lasers, night vision, incredible insulation, soundproofing. Whatever you could imagine in terms of testing was at Bell Labs. And future technology was sitting there in Bell Labs. Where did they get all that future technology? I've always believed, that it was reverse-engineered UFOs, and that the U.S. government captured UFOs and sold some of them to Bell Labs, AT&T, sold others to Raytheon, Motorola, General Motors. They all got a little piece of the UFOs. That's what I believe happened. Next day or two, I say to my father, I had follow-up questions, as you would have. I said to my father, you know, when you told me that you went out to New Mexico, to Roswell, to buy up all that land, I have some follow-up questions. And he was just fine. And he looked at me and he said, what are you talking about? I never told you anything like that. I said, yes, you did. I'm in radio. I have an audiographic memory. Everything I hear, I remember. Sort of true. Unless you know, I'm being asked to do a chore or something. And he said, I never told you that. And there it is. The men in black, I'm sure, visited him. He also had the business plan for the Telstar satellite in our basement. He wrote the business plan for the Telstar satellite. There was a lot of spooky stuff around our house, but it was all based on Bell Labs. And Bell Labs physicists, who were all Hungarian refugees from World War II, all their physicists were Hungarian refugees. They'd come over for dinner, brilliant men. They'd come over for dinner, poorly dressed, brilliant men. And it was fascinating to hear them talk about all of this stuff. But they never said, well, you know, this all came from spacemen. This all came from spacemen. I'm getting information about the fact that there may have been some misinformation about who threw those bombs or grenades or Molotov cocktails at Gracie Mansion in New York City this week. It's a very strange story, and I asked some questions about it when we heard about it, because I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. They're saying that the people who threw it at Gracie Mansion were Muslim, but now other reports are saying that isn't true. That isn't who they were. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is The Other Side of Midnight, hosted by Lionel. Lionel, thank you for letting me host and talk to the Midnight Misfits. This is the Red Apple Audio Networks.
The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel on the Red Apple Podcast Network. It's The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel.
21 past the hour, 21 past the hour. Walter M. Sterling, good evening. The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel, with Walter Sterling. He's out today. Thank you, Lionel, for letting me share this time with you at 800-848-9222. This is an important story. Manhattan Borough President Brad Holyman Segal was roasted Sunday after he blamed the wrong protesters for hurling suspected explosive devices during dueling demonstrations outside Gracie Mansion on Saturday. Holyman Segal, or Siegel, issued a statement on X on Saturday claiming in part that the white Christian nationalists led a roaming trail, holy crow, of Islam, anti-Semitism, blah, blah, blah. Okay. The borough president took down the statement before it was publicly revealed. I'm not going to repeat it because he took it down on Sunday. And he said the two pro-Muslim demonstrators identified as Emes Balat and Abraham Kayumi, were arrested in the incident. Federal authorities are now working with the NYPD on the case. This is double-barreled hatred in New York City. It's clear that both Jews and Muslims are being threatened by the rise of the white supremacists in our country. We must do everything we can to ensure New York is a safe place. That's what he said. Okay, so that's a messy story. What isn't messy is that two explosives were thrown at Gracie Mansion. And they think they have the teenagers who did it. And they are unclear about the motive. But the motive is to do destruction, and therefore, in no way, shape, or form, okay. Not all right. It's a terrible story in every way. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Well, let me try this again. My link to the radio station has gone down again. So, Matt, if you could send me those magic numbers again, I would appreciate it. Now, let's go back to talking about other things. Oh, yes, yes, yes. 4-hour waits in our airports around the country this weekend. 4-hour waits at TSA. And the reasons are, as usual, everybody's blaming everyone else. First of all, it's ridiculous. You and I, 90% of the people going through those airports are no threat. And the surveillance now is so profound. The electronic surveillance, looking at every aspect of the airport is so profound that it's much safer than it ever was 20 years ago. What many don't realize, I certainly didn't realize, is that before you and I get up to that electronic measuring device to see whether or not we're carrying metals, before we get up to that, they know. They already know who we are. They know by how fast we're, listen, they know by how fast we're walking, what we're carrying, how old we are. The identification just from our body movements and our facial recognition is so profound that before we get up to being truly inspected, having to open our luggage, they know whether or not we're a problem. They've got it down. I also know that if I don't have proper ID, I can still get on the plane. What? Yeah, if you forget your photo ID, you can still get on the plane. And I will tell you this story. It was a Friday night in Chicago. And to me, the furthest distance between any two points in the world is anywhere at O'Hare Airport. There's no place worse. I hate that airport. Please, please take me to Midway. Midway, nice airport. Everybody's pleasant. There are two people there at any given time. O'Hare, I dread, and I dread it. Listen, WGN, you got it? Fix the damn airport. The only good thing about O'Hare is the subway, the train, comes right into the airport, comes right into the terminal. Why they haven't figured out that technology in New York City, I don't know. Why most cities haven't figured out that high tech of bringing the train into the terminal, I don't know. But it seems to be a challenge. It's Friday night. The last flight from Chicago to my home was about an hour away, and I realized I did not have my photo ID. I had already lost my driver's license because I'm a mess. But I had my passport, but I didn't. I had left my passport in an office in Chicago. I had no photo ID. And this is what I learned, really important. At every airline, listen, at every airline, there's a woman with a black walkie-talkie and a Chanel suit. Think about it. Every time you've gone up to a real airline, I'm not talking like Spirit or Frontier. I'm talking a real airline, American, United, Delta, Sirius Airlines. There's a well-coiffed woman of a certain age with a Chanel suit and a black walkie-talkie. And I go up to her. I look for her. I knew she had to be there. And sure enough, there she was, probably named Charlotte. I go up to Charlotte and I say, Charlotte, I have a problem. I have a ticket and a boarding pass. Remember those. I had a ticket and a boarding pass, but I don't have my photo ID. Can you help me? And she said, you have the boarding pass? I said, yes. You've already had it. Yes. Let me see it. I show her the boarding pass. She says, I am going to walk you to security, and you are to do exactly what you are told to do. Do not say one word beyond what I tell you to say. I'm like, whoa, this is the real person. This is the real ticketing agent. This is the actual person you want at every airline. There's one at every airline who can get it done. Whatever it is, they can get it done. Odds are you and I won't run into that person. Odds are we're going to get the person whose name tag is trainee. Well-intentioned, but trainee. I follow her. Now, there's a long line at that security on a Friday night at O'Hare. I'm talking 20 minutes waiting to get through security. But we go to the head of that line, and we go up to the ticket, to the TSA agent, and she says something to the TSA agent, and they say, wait. They come back with the largest TSA agent I have ever seen in my life. This guy came from Tartaria. He had to be 8 feet tall. Huge man. And he looks at me. And what I had been told to say was this. This is the script. I was told to say, sir, I realize it's totally at your discretion, but if you can get me on the plane that I'm booked on, I would be very appreciative. The magic words were, I realize this was totally at your discretion. Whoa. And I say that with a certain amount of convincing and a radio voice. It was very persuasive, apparently. And he looks me up and down like I am a major threat to the United States of America. He looks me up and down and he says, pauses. He says, I will get you on that flight. Stand here. Well, what happened next, I will share with you coming up in just seconds. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is The Other Side of Midnight, hosted by Lionel on the Red Apple Audio Network. We're very proud to be on WGN in Chicago. Be sure to say Chicago, and don't challenge them on whether or not that's pizza. Don't say something stupid like, no, I think it's housing insulation. Housing insulation with tomato sauce. Don't say anything like that. It's about 30 minutes past the hour, 30 minutes past the hour on the other side of midnight. I'm telling a story about the worst thing that could happen to us when we go to an airport. I had no photo ID. I didn't have my photo ID. I had left my passport in my office, and I didn't have a driver's license because I'm a flake, right? The largest security man I've ever seen in my life has now gone to talk to other large security men about whether or not to get me on the plane. But the last thing he said to me, and by the way, did you send me that thing, Matt? Did you send me those magic numbers? Hold on a second. Let's see. Yes, he did. This is good news for me. Let me just put in magic numbers, and I'll tell you the rest of the story, because I want to be able to talk to you at 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Would have been so much better to do it during the break, but, you know, I'm not that good. I'm just, like, new at this. I've not been in radio that long. Hold on. One, two, three. Hold on. I'm almost done. 9-2-2-2. No, really, it is the best way to do it. Trust me. Oh, no. One more time, and then just indulge me one more time. I have to try it a different way. I know this is terrible radio. What's wrong with me? Isn't this boring? This is like really boring. There we go. All right. I'm at O'Hare. The largest security man I've ever seen, TSA guy ever, is saying, I'll get you on that flight. Okay. Don't move, he says. I'm standing there for 20 minutes. I'm not moving one inch, not one. I figure they're all looking at me because I'm a major threat. Meanwhile, it's 2 hours of people waiting to get on this flight. The man comes by back with a wireless phone, not a cell phone, one of those wireless phones. He hands it to me. He says, this man's going to ask you questions. Answer the questions. Whoa. The person on the other end of the phone at this TSA site, he wasn't on a speakerphone. He was on something else. It sounded like he was from the bottom of a cave. It was terrifying. Answer his questions. Where were you born? It was like that. That's how far away he sounded. Where were you born? I told him. The last four digits of your Social Security number. I told him. Where was it issued? Oh. What was the last car you owned? Which of these addresses did you live at? He had 30 questions for me. And thank goodness I answered them all right. Give the phone back to the agent. Okay, I'll give the phone back to the agent. And boom, I got on that flight. It is possible. Pete on Staten Island, welcome to the Red Apple Audio Network at 800-848-9222. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Walter. Yeah, well, you know, I carry with me my ID in a photocopy that's notarized by a notary. Now, that is accepted as identification as long as it ain't laminated. But it is questionable. People do question it, but it does help in some ways. It's not going to help me get on a plane, but if I get stopped for a traffic stop, you know, they'll look at it and they'll say, you really should have your actual ID, and I explain to them
they
that
they scold you, right, Pete? They scold you.
Me. Yes, yeah, they scold me, but it works 9 out of 10, you know, especially on good old Staten Island, which I call a cemetery with lights, you know, because when something happens out here, it happens big, you know. But I wanted to talk to you about with Tom Snyder when he had the Tomorrow Show.
Yeah.
When I was up at NBC and you were up at NBC,
yeah.
I got along very good with him. And at the end of the night, he'd always have a drink, and he'd insist on me having a drink with him. But I didn't drink when I was working. I would only drink when we'd have a...
Did he give you a cigarette? Pete, did he offer you cigarettes?
Because
he smoked
smoke.
A lot.
He would smoke up in the studio, but that was allowed. He could do basically anything he wanted to do. You know,
he was a brilliant broadcaster, Pete. He was a truly brilliant broadcaster. Thank you very much for the call at 800-848-9222. Jeanette Throgsneck, welcome to the Red Apple Audio Network. Hi.
Wow. All of my life I hope to meet all of you since third grade, I think it was. Third grade. You say it all and everything I've said. Most of all my life here. About the cat.
I told the story. Give me 1 second, Jeanette. I need to re-explain. I need to reset because I'm a good broadcaster. I don't assume people listen from 1 a.m. I reset. I re-explain as a courtesy. It's the only polite thing to do. I explained that I have a male cat, and my male cat likes to go to the bathroom, likes to pee or spray at random places every damn day. Every day that cat sprays. We have tried everything. But, Jeanette, if you have advice, I'm listening.
Oh, yes, Walter. Listen, I tricked the feral cat, okay? I don't know how they knew when I was walking a half a block up to this house here in Frog's Neck of the Bronx. But they're sitting and cry. I hear them crying down the block. I said, I got to catch that cat, and I'm going to get it to the doctor for ampicillin, penicillin. I'm going to keep him. So I tricked him. I closed the living room door when he got in the house, and it was cold outside. I put cat litter on one side of the room, cat food on the other side. I picked up Tide cat, lightweight cat litter. No Febreze in it, no chemicals.
Right.
okay? Pate food, well, there's nothing I can do anything about that. They're not supposed to eat pate cat food.
Why?
I don't feed them.
Listen to me. I don't feed them pate cat food.
No, I'm
But why am I not I supposed see. To give why am I not supposed to give them pate?
I was told by the Animal Medical Center downtown, but it's no good.
Oh.
Okay?
Yes, Jeanette.
But I tricked him, and I got him in the house, and he had diarrhea all over the place.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, urine off is extremely dangerous, so I didn't use urine off.
Really? All right, okay, listen, Jeanette, it's TMI. I appreciate the call. Thank you for caring about my cat. Thank you. Jay in Cincinnati, welcome to 800-848-9222. I'm Walter Sterling for The Other Side of Midnight for Lionel.
I like your theory on reverse engineering, little green men.
Yeah.
We really didn't need little green men. We had Operation Paperclip. We got a bunch of German engineers over here.
Germans?
We steal technology.
Germans?
Yes.
What do you mean we steal it? How do we steal it? What are you talking about?
After World War II, you didn't know that we had a bunch of rocket engineers from Germany brought over
right,
here?
Right, right.
They were up in Dayton, Ohio, and I worked for a German gentleman, and they all would hang out at the glider club, okay? German's gliders were the best in the world, and they all hung out there on the weekend. And it's interesting, the technology that we would steal, basically. This country's always done that, you know, technology, but I like your theory. I don't think we reverse engineered a bunch of stuff from UFOs, but I like your theory for late night. It's great.
I appreciate the call, Jay. Where in Cincinnati do you live?
North of town, Green Hills, it's called.
And how long have you lived there?
60 years.
And so you know about corned beef?
A little bit.
Yeah. Because you don't know about pizza. Sorry to tell you, but you don't.
No, we don't have good pizza. We got pizza, but not good pizza.
No, it's true. But at least you admit it, and I appreciate that, and I respect you for admitting that. Thank you very much for calling The Other Side of Midnight. Lionel Show, Walter M. Sterling, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Yes, we broke the story, thanks to Ross Coulthard, about this incredible situation where you have a major general. Let me get these names right. Major, I'll play the thing with Ross again, but a major general, listen to this. This is terrifying. I got to bring up the story here. Yes, computers have made everything better. I can't believe it isn't doing that. Sure you can. Oh my gosh. Listen, this is a man, this major general, has some of the most sensitive secrets of the United States in his head, says Ross Coulthard, who is my friend and has been on my shows many, many times, adding that McCasland possesses deep knowledge about the U.S. government that might be hiding regarding extraterrestrials. The U.S. government might be hiding information regarding extraterrestrials. And this is the guy who knows. He knows about it. And the fact that he disappeared, he's got the secret knowledge. McCasland, last seen on February 27th at approximately 11 a.m. in Nebraska. Now, the reason this is all significant, this was a major general. He was in his 60s. He wasn't sick. He was in great shape. A serious guy. 5'11", 160 pounds, that son of a bitch. And due to his rank, law enforcement is a little nervous. They're a little nervous. A major general, secrets about UFOs, law enforcement, a little nervous. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. That's my phone number. And you and I are talking about disappearance of UFO, an expert. We're talking about Savannah Guthrie's mom, and my theory about Savannah Guthrie's mom. Did you hear that? And about my big challenge, which is how to get my male cat to stop peeing. Those are the issues. When I put together this show, I sit and I try to get honest with myself. What do I really care about? Do I care about what's on the front page of the New York Times? Almost never. Do I care about what's on the editorial of any newspaper? Never. Do I care about the official statements? No. If it was in a press conference, does it interest me? No. What do I care about? Check engine light in car. If that check engine light goes off in the car, I have a problem. That's what I worry about. Number one, that's what I worry about. The worst thing that any suburbanite can encounter, tell me if this isn't true, the worst thing that any suburbanite can encounter is what? What? Water on the basement floor. If you and I open the basement cellar door in the morning and we see water on the floor, this is the worst thing possible. Because it's impossible to ignore. We can't pretend we didn't see it. First, we have to find out, where did the water come from? And is it going to keep flooding the basement? Is that going to continue through the day? Or has it already stopped? And then where did it come from? Water on the basement floor is the greatest risk to my happiness. Maybe yours. I'll take it up a level. I had a worse experience of water on a basement floor. My worst experience with water on the floor was in the kitchen. Come down one morning. Did this happen to you? I come down one morning, and there's a pristine sheen of water on the kitchen floor, on the linoleum floor. Nothing's running. Sink isn't running. Nothing's overflowing. Dishwasher isn't running. Nothing's overflowing. What the heck is this? I look up the ceiling. Somebody left the bathtub on overnight. Nope, nothing's dripping down. There's nothing dripping down. Where the heck did this come from? And it's the entire kitchen floor. Not raining, window isn't open, none of it. How did this happen? We had a refrigerator that I did not know had an ice maker in it. But the ice maker, to my knowledge, had been disconnected. That ice maker had never worked. In fact, in my life, no ice maker in any refrigerator has ever worked. Ever. This one wasn't working. I open it up. There's no water coming out of there. I'm like, what the heck? And then I'm like, I don't know where I got the thought. But I thought, well, maybe, because it was a rental. I'm like, maybe the hose that's supposed to go to that ice maker somehow was active. And I pulled the refrigerator out, and son of a gun, there was a clip, there was a clasp that was keeping the hose to the ice maker closed that had sprung open. A little tiny, you know, the one of those aquarium clear hoses, one of those little skinny tubes, that was spilling out water continuously. Well, it gets worse. Not only did it cover my kitchen floor, but it had been there all night and therefore had leaked to the basement. And when I went downstairs to look in the cellar, yes, there was a flood down there from that little tiny hose. And it was such a pristine flooding that it had gone through a light fixture and filled up a lit light bulb. How that thing didn't short out, why that house was still standing, I don't know. But I don't know how it filled it up, but it filled up a light bulb with water, and the light bulb was on. That, to me, is the news of my life. There could be no more news than a flood on the basement floor. Then we get to the teachers that I have to deal with. And my number is 800-848-9222. What is your news? This is my news, 800-848-9222. Fascinating to hear about your news. I have an autistic daughter. Her name is Samantha. And from time to time on my weekend show, you and I are going to talk about my autistic daughter, because I want to hear if you have a gifted child, if you have a child who's in touch with the universe in a way that you and I cannot be. But my gifted child, who is 14, she sees angels. How many angels did you see, Samantha? 11. It's always 11. My hell with Samantha is dealing with schools. It took us many years to get her to the right school. It took us many years to get her to the right special ed school. And the way that happened, because these are more expensive than Princeton, Harvard, Syracuse, Brooklyn College, you name the school. A special ed school is more expensive than any other school possible. And yeah, it's a private school because it's a special ed school. It's the school for autism near where Samantha lives, near where I live. I don't want you to think she isn't living with me. She lives with me, and she's a doll. She's an angel, but she needs to go to a special school. And they've helped her with her autism like I can't believe. We made a 2-year settlement with her public school system, and the 2-year settlement said this. The first year of this 2-year settlement, they would pay for her private school. And then, because I'm an idiot, I signed the agreement which said the second year they would not pay for the private school. But lawyers put this together, and the lawyers promised us, don't worry, Mr. Sterling, don't worry. We will work it out in the second year. It will not be a problem. We'll talk to you. We'll figure out a way to deal with this. Okay. The second year starts back in September, and I try to reach the lawyer. And there's no reach in the lawyer. They didn't answer my calls. They didn't answer my emails. Right. The same lawyers that we had paid to take care of this agreement. First year, the school system paid for her special ed school for her autism. Second year, they weren't going to pay. And it turns out they were going to hold us to this mediation agreement, which I signed. I said to the superintendent of the schools, I wonder what you would have said. I said to the superintendent of the school, I made a mistake. I should have never signed this agreement. It was my mistake. But I'm only half the mistake. Your school system's the other half of the mistake. You should have never signed it. Because what you've said is that my kid can't continue her special ed education, and that there's no way in hell we could afford this. And they will not admit they made a mistake, and they will not amend the agreement. I said, you know, the Constitution of the United States has amendments. I think we can amend this goofy mediation agreement. And they wouldn't do it. Then I start to look on Facebook and other places, other blogs, about parents of special ed kids. The challenges, the problems that they have in dealing with their public school systems to get those kids accommodated, educated, paid for. What's the word I'm looking for? Disgusting. Appalling. This is the Red Apple Audio Network. It's the Other Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling for Lionel. And my phone number is 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222.
The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel on the Red Apple Podcast Network. The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel.
Walter M. Sterling, The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel. Thank you, Lionel, for letting me share this time with your misfits. Joan in New Jersey, welcome to the Red Apple Audio Network at 800-848-9222. Hi.
Yes, hi. About the cat, have you tried a male wrap? A male wrap for the cat.
A what?
A male wrap, W-R-A-P. You put it around his genitals and wrap it around.
Oh, yes. And what does that do besides scare the cat? What does that do?
Well, that's it. I don't know if a cat's going to accept that. You could try talking to your vet about how to get him to accept it.
Did you ever try this, Joan? Did you ever try this with a cat or your husband? Did you ever try this?
No, my dog. My dog wears one.
Did it work?
Yeah, but my dog doesn't do it in the house. He wears one outside.
And what's the benefit to wearing it outside? What is the benefit? Can't they just pee outside?
Well, he pees on the backs of his front legs, so to keep that from happening, he wears a wrap outside.
Joan, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for calling The Other Side of Midnight at 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. You and I are talking about how to get my cat to stop peeing, trouble with the many theories of Savannah Guthrie's mom disappearing, none of which I believe. And I appreciate the fact that even though I mentioned the Epstein problem and that none of that makes any sense either, I appreciate the fact that no one has called about that because I really didn't want to talk about that. No, I really didn't. And now I've just shared with you the life with my autistic daughter. And my autistic daughter is a highly functional, outgoing girl. She is social. You will be her friend. She doesn't have many of the liabilities of an autistic child. But academically, she's in third grade. So she's 14, academically third grade. Socially, she's way ahead of you. She's fine socially, and that's why I'm not worried about her, because the world will take care of her. Dennis in Harlem, have we talked before? Dennis, welcome to The Other Side of Midnight.
No, sir. Hi, Dennis.
Yeah, no, sir. Good morning. What's going on? What's going on?
Well, there's a doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach. He's the author of Dead Doctors Don't Lie.
Yes.
And he said autism is a vitamins and minerals deficiency, and he's helped numerous clients with that. And so Dr. Joel Wallach, Dead Doctors Don't Lie. He has a radio program on. In California.
No, I don't care if he has a radio program on. Does he sell vitamins, Dennis?
Yes.
Yeah, but see, that's a problem, Dennis. That's a problem.
I understand it. But the thing is, if you're an auto repairman and you're a whiz at it, why wouldn't you sell products for autos?
I appreciate that. It's different with medicine. There are many laws. For example, if you go to an MD, they're not allowed to sell you pharmaceuticals because the conflict is profound. But I appreciate what you're saying, Dennis, and I thank you for caring about my daughter, Samantha, at 800-848-9222. Thank you for the call, 800-848-9222. Now, what else did I – there were so many other things that I have to get over with you. And let's talk about what's needed to make our cities safe. Because at this time of day, to go out from work on the third shift, the great shift, working in the hospital, the ER, you're a teacher working overnight, cleaning, driving a bus, a train, working at the airport, train station, you and I make these cities work. This is the reason cities work is because of what we do all night. And we'll talk about how to get it safer, because it's when you hear whack jobs saying, well, the way to deal with the police is to have fewer of them. Yeah. Mike in Brooklyn, welcome to The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel, with Walter M. Sterling. Hi.
Yes, good morning, Walter. How are you doing today?
Good, Michael, because I'm talking to you. Where in Brooklyn are you?
I'm in a small area called Gerritsen Beach. It's near Sheepshead Bay Marine Park.
Got it. All right. Nice part of Brooklyn. Sir, what can we do for you?
Okay, your cat problem. I solved that problem for my cousin.
Yes?
Take a wee-wee pad and put it against the wall, up against the wall, and so much up the wall, and then a little bit out on the floor, the cat will actually start going on the wee-wee pad.
Mike, that is the best solution I've heard so far. Thank you, Mike from Brooklyn. Thank you for calling 800-848-9222. The reason we're talking about this and the reason that you have advice for me is because this is the imponderable. I have solved many other problems in my life. How to get my male cat to stop going to the bathroom all day, every day, outside of the box. The one thing that has never worked are the commercially available solutions. We've never had anything that gets the cat to relax. We know the relaxing, those solutions have not worked for us. We've never had a litter that has worked. But I like the wee-wee pad idea, and I like the idea of putting the food where he has gone to the bathroom, because they will not, in fact, go to the bathroom where they have food. Walter M. Sterling, The Other Side of Midnight, for Lionel, on the Red Apple Audio Network.
The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel on the Red Apple Podcast Network. This is The Other Side of Midnight.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
With Lionel.
The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel, with Walter Sterling tonight. Thank you very much for being with me, because this is the best time of day to be on the radio, and therefore it's the best time of day to listen to the radio. Welcome. This is the biggest all-night show in American radio. It's when you and I get to spend time with each other. We're not distracted. All the day people, all the people who hand out forms, they're asleep. Everybody who's ever worked in a human resources department is not awake right now. They are not. They are team players. They're people who brag about the fact that they get in early. And what is it about people who get in early? What is that about? People who get in early, what do they always say? They always think, well, I get in early, you should get in early. Really? And vegetarians, they're the same way. People who are vegetarians think, you should be a vegetarian. And yet, you and I, we have never said to anybody, you know, you really should stay up all night. And nobody who's ever eaten steak has ever said to another person, you know, you've got to eat more steak. Because we are not that kind of arrogant. Oh, we're plenty arrogant. But we're not arrogant like that. We don't believe that you need to eat more steak. We don't believe you need to stay up later. Oh, you want to stay up later with me? I'll be here. I will be here. But we never say to people, you should stay. We never tell people to do anything. We're just happy when we don't have to talk to anybody. Our goal, my goal, is to be left alone. That is my purpose in life, is to be left alone. How do you feel about that, Robert, in St. Louis, at 800-848-9222? Do you need to be left alone?
Hey, how you doing? No. I need people around me all the time. I tell you what, I'm a people person. How you doing tonight?
I'm not a people Hello? Person. I am not a people person, Robert.
Oh, okay. Well, that's my wife. She's not a people person, but I am. I reckon that's why we're together. Hey, so I wanted to touch on a couple of topics there that you've talked about. First of all, just my view, my idea on the kidnapping of that lady, Gulf 3 lady. That's a sad situation. But from all the stories I've listened to, and then combined with just the way people are, people, I don't care if they're family or friends, there's always going to be bad people, okay? I really believe at the end of the day, and I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings, but I believe at the end of the day, when they find this lady and when they find out who did it, it's probably more than likely it's going to be a relative or somebody related. And it's because of money. Money is always the key factor in everything. I mean, from the beginning of time. I mean, I even have relatives that have, you know, I hate it when there's a death in a family. That's one of my pet peeves, because you got everybody under a rock coming to see with their hand out. And it's just to see what they can get. Relatives are the worst. But that's what they're going to wind up finding out. And I'm sad. That's my honest opinion. Now, on a different topic real quick, you talked about this day and age, you know, what can we do more about security? You know, the police we have, God bless them. I'm 100% police. They do a great job. Sure, you have bad apples, but what job? There's not going to be a rotten apple in it. That's just right. Life. You know, we got to get over that. But what can we do to ensure our safety more? It's just be aware of yourself. I mean, it's from the time back in the Western time and before, when there wasn't that many cops or police or horseback, before you get police, people protected themselves. They watched what was going on around them. And at the end of the day, that's what people need to do today. I don't care how many law enforcement you have. They're usually tied up. They're doing what they got to do. God bless them. But there's never going to be enough because there's always going to be one person taking a walk through a park somewhere by themselves, or there's going to be somebody going to work at night down an alley, or their car breaks down. You got to always be aware of your surroundings and be prepared. Have something mentally going on before you ever get to that stage. Think of what you're going to do to protect yourself, or how can you protect yourself, and what kind of escape path maybe if you go down the same way all the time. Make sure you have somebody that knows where you're at. You know, there's a lot of things that you could do to ensure to help your own safety or prevent you from getting hurt even. I mean, the law enforcement are great. God bless them. But they can't be everywhere at one time. They're just not Superman. You know, that's life. Get over it. People need to get over it. But, hey, just be aware of yourself, your surroundings. You know, you've got to be able to protect yourself. And then one more topic I just want to share. You know, these experts you've got people talk to about UFOs and stuff, it's interesting to listen to all their stories, their books, to read their books and stuff like that. These people, they do a lot of research.
Go ahead.
From other people.
Go ahead.
And, you know, I've been on the Lionel Show before. I've some different ones, talk show shows tonight. I've gave my testimony about it, but I believe that until you actually see something, people don't believe stuff. Unless a person actually sees something, you could write about it all day in a book. You know, you could put it on paper and you have a lot of knowledge from what other people tell you. But unless you actually see something down deep inside, people really don't believe it. You know, I don't care who you are. Unless I see something, I'm not going to completely believe it. And right. Then half the time, you got this day and age, especially with AI and social media. You got to pick through it. There's so much misinformation out there. We all know that.
Robert.
Videos or whatever else. But what I have seen two UFOs.
Hey, why didn't you start with that?
Oh, you want to hear that story?
Yeah, I do want to hear that story, but now you have to keep it short. Now you have to keep it short because I don't want you to.
Keep it short.
Wait. Listen to me. Listen to me.
Yeah.
It's my show. Listen to me.
You got it.
It's early in the morning. I want you to speak softer, and then you can tell your UFO story. Normally, I wouldn't let this go on, but I want you to tell a UFO story. God bless you, but speak softer. Speak softer.
That's a big thing I do. I'm a talker. I talk fast. I talk loud. I'm always in a hurry. My mind's going 100. Okay. So years ago, I worked offshore. Out in the Gulf of Mexico. I worked for a company that drilled oil for Pemex government down around Venezuela and stuff like that. But it was probably about 200 miles off the coast. And it was during September, late August, early September. Beautiful, beautiful day out on the ocean. The wind was not blowing. The seas were calm, not rippling, no wind, not a cloud in the sky, just a solid blue sky. And actually, I'm a crane operator, so I look up a lot. And we were doing a procedure. We were running casing on our rig, and I had a bunch of roustabouts rigging up the pipe. We floated up to the rig floor. And as I'm watching towards the stern of the rig, see these two spheres, two balls. They look like hot air balloons at first. But as they got closer, you could see there was no basket on them. They weren't balloons. They were completely round. They were probably about, I want to say, maybe 50 foot in diameter, good estimate. They were about half a football field apart from each other, and they were about a quarter mile above us. And we seen them at a distance. It wasn't just me. It was several people, everybody that worked out there at the time. As they came towards us, they were going real slow. And, of course, it's really noisy. You can't hear no noisy, even if it was producing noise, but there was no jet plumes or no smoke coming from them or anything
right,
like that.
Right.
They came over us really slow, maybe about, I want to say maybe 35 miles an hour, came over the top of us and went past us towards the bow of our rig, maybe about, maybe a quarter of a mile, and they stopped. And there were several guys, especially the American guys, said, oh, those are hot air balloons. So that's this, that's that. But no, they weren't. They had no distinctive figure, nothing, no windows, no motors.
Right. How big was it? How big was it?
They were about 50 foot in diameter.
And how many were there?
Two of them.
Two of them, okay.
Two of them.
And wait, let me ask some questions. Wait, it's my show.
Yeah, yeah.
What color were they, and were you afraid?
Okay, they were like off-white, grayish. They almost had a kind of darker color to it, but that was the color of them. They weren't illuminated. This was during the afternoon. No, was not afraid. Did not have any fear at all.
And then
I don't know.
Did you ever see them again?
No, but that's not all that happened. Now
go
this
ahead.
Is never
ahead.
Seen them again. Never seen them again. But they stopped, and they just sat there maybe about 15 seconds, and like I said, no wind, nothing. All of a sudden, one went to the right, one went to the left at an angle. If you had blinked your eye, you would not have known where they went to. They went straight up.
Right. So there's no way.
Out of sight.
Right. So there's no way they could have been from us. They needed to be from some other superior technology source, right? Robert, listen, thank you very much for the call. Robert, thank you for the call. Great call. Great information. Always never bury the lead. You saw UFOs and you started with something less interesting. Always start with the most exciting things with Walter Sterling. Frank in New York, welcome to The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel and Walter Sterling tonight. Good evening.
Yeah, the first radio job you had was in Washington Borough, New York.
New Jersey.
No, New York. Washington Borough, New York.
Washington Borough, New Jersey.
New York.
I would know. Frank, I would know, and thank you very much for the call. Jeff in Colts Neck, welcome to The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel and Walter Sterling at 800-848-9222. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, Walter. I enjoy listening to you.
You should. You should enjoy listening to me because there's nothing better on. It's one of the few live shows on KMOX and WGN, very powerful radio stations, KDKA. And I appreciate that you called, Jeff. What's going on?
It's about the Savannah Guthrie case. It reminds me of a family case years ago, and it was obvious who the killer was, but intentionally was not solved. And then the killer died, and that still goes on. Everyone knows it was well known all across the country. But Savannah Guthrie, in this case, this is about money and family, and Savannah did not spend money to protect her mother. And she didn't call the police. She called a senator. And she didn't seem, to me, her demeanor, I just got an instinct that this is a problem she wanted to get rid of. That was her mother. And now she's rid of her. So I don't know who asked the questions. And sometimes they say, oh, you can't ask the questions. It's too sensitive. It's too sensitive. You can't ask Savannah Guthrie, such questions. She's mourning. She's mourning on television.
Well, listen, Jeff, I totally agree with you. She promised us, Savannah Guthrie promised us, that she was probably never going to be on the Today Show again. And I'm like, good news. Give someone else a really good $10 million a year job. That's a great idea. None of it makes sense. And it is my experience, Jeff, that when nothing makes sense, that's because there's a lie at work. There is a lie at work, Jeff. Thank you very much for calling at 800-848-9222. There is a lie at work in the Guthrie case, in my opinion. There's a big lie. And it's either what he just suggested that Savannah knows, but there's money. There's a lot of money there. Mom lived in an expensive house. She had just had dinner with relatives. They probably didn't like what she was saying about her inheritance, what she was going to do with her money. Maybe they just didn't like what that was, and they got into an argument on the porch. They had just dropped her off. Remember this? They had just dropped her off. Then there was a scuffle, fisticuffs. It's a horrible story. This is an 84-year-old woman. It's about as bad a story as it possibly can be. All right. This is The Other Side of Midnight, hosted by Lionel. Lionel has been very gracious and let Walter M. Sterling host the show tonight, which means you and I get to talk. We get to talk live. Remember, when you call the number and you go on the air, you become the media. You can't say, well, you know, the media this or that. You can't say any of that anymore. You are the media. This is the Red Apple Audio Network.
The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel on the Red Apple Podcast Network. It's the Other Side of Midnight with Lionel.
Walter M. Sterling for the Other Side of Midnight with Lionel. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a chronic caller, a legendary caller, a chronic caller. Steve in Manhattan, what name are you using tonight? Steve, what other names do you go by, Steve?
First of all, Walter, I just want to say that you're growing on us. And I spoke to you a couple of years ago. And
like Moss.
One day I'll tell the audience why when I call in I got to wear the Groucho glasses and stuff. I'll tell them someday why.
Well, is it because let me guess why. Can I guess why, Steve? If you're going to wear the Groucho glasses, then I get to guess, right?
Go right ahead.
Are you retired from a job where you were famous?
The only thing I will say is because of my dedication to this country, I gave up a lot of earning power in my lifetime. And this is going back from being a paper boy and the guy on the route telling me if I want an afternoon paper, I'll get the Golden Eagle that was out 50 years, gone 50 years already. But that's all I'll say to that.
That tells me that you're really old because not one listener I have under the age of 40 knows what a paper boy is.
No, this audience definitely knows what a paper boy is.
This audience doesn't know what a cell phone is.
I'm going to get to the other point, but I just want to say something about this. But, Walter, I'm going to throw my cards on the table right away. You remember when everybody was saying Bin Laden was in Afghanistan? I called the Bob Grant show. I said, no, he is either Bin Laden's either in Pakistan or he's in Iran. And I turned out to be right. Or I said, he might be in Geraldo Rivera's mustache. I said that too. Then a couple of years later after that, I'm the one who did it from watching the TV set. I solved the Beltway sniper case. You had all the experts on TV. Yeah, they're really experts. One guy said it was a bunch of college kids. I said, nonsense. I basically laid it out what was going on there. I said at least two snipers, and they were concealing themselves in a unique way. And they were. One of the snipers was in the trunk of the car.
And where are we going, Steve? Where are we going today?
Well, I want to say something about Nancy Guthrie.
Yes, please. Why didn't you start with that rather than this old guy thing? Why don't you start with young guy's story, which is boom, 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 boom.
All right. Here it is. My point of view is with Nancy Guthrie is at least two perps, possibly three. The clown we see at the front door with the ski mask on and he's playing with the camera. His other two perps went into the house through the back through the sliding doors. That's how they get into the house. They know the doors, sliding doors were found open. We know that somebody went in or out there, but I say they went in. They walked through the house. And they went to the front door. Now, remember, if you look at that door, you see those old-time steel iron security gate doors on the front. Those are not easy to break into. I mean, a locksmith could get through them in a second if he knows what he's doing. But the average person would have trouble with that. But also, those doors, and it's illegal, sometimes are keyed from both sides. So
that's illegal. Yes, that's illegal.
No, I know that.
Right.
But people do have it. Possible because if it's an older door, they might have confronted that front door from the inside and there might have been a key there. But they had Nancy. They were in that house. To me, they robbed that house and they kidnapped her. All right. To me, these guys are low IQ freaks. And so throw the Y out of the five W's. All right. Let's move on from that. The thing with your daughter, she has a, you know, obviously was autism, you said.
The problem with that is,
and I really mean this, is that you're in the middle. I think you're middle class. You make too much money to qualify for all the free benefits they give all the illegal aliens. And you probably don't have enough money because these schools are outrageous with the prices they pay.
Yes.
And the reason why they charge those prices is because people will pay it. They won't even say, boo, what about the guy next to you who might not be able to afford it? And that's the problem there. I would recommend doing a GoFundMe. If you're not using this as a prop, but I think your daughter needs help, do a GoFundMe. You got a big audience here. I guarantee you there's billionaires in this audience. All right?
I'm sure there are billionaires in the audience too, Steve, and thank you for the call. You can't do a GoFundMe for education. George, in Arizona, do you live near Mrs. Guthrie? Do you live near the mom in Arizona, George?
I don't know where she lives. I don't know where that is.
How can I help you tonight, George? Welcome to the Red Apple Audio Network. Hi.
How are you? You know those Ferris wheels that are showing up all over the place? I don't know why they're showing up. All of a sudden, they just happen to show up in every major city on the planet.
Yeah, London, St. Louis. Yeah.
Yeah, Brooklyn, Seattle, you know, L.A., whatever.
Did they put it up in Brooklyn yet? Hundreds. Is it up in Brooklyn? Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, and, go ahead.
I believe they, you know, if you saw...
I think, George, listen to me. I think they're completely related to the UFOs, and I thank you very much for the call, George. Thank you for calling 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Walter Sterling, we get to spend this special time together. This is the magic time of day because it's just you and me, left-handed, flat-footed, accessory navicular. Do you know what an accessory navicular is? If you know, you know. This is the Red Apple Audio Network. It's 30 minutes past the hour. We're on WGN in Chicago. The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel and Walter Sterling. Pleasure, happy, excited to be with you. I have an email. I actually answer the emails, unlike these other clowns. Walter.Sterling@WABCRadio.com. Walter.Sterling@WABCRadio.com. It feels good, doesn't it? I was talking moments ago about how to make the cities safer. Now, I've lived downtown, center city, you name it, all my life. There are some constant traits as to when do I feel safe. When you're walking through a city at this time, when do you feel safest? I feel safest when there's a police car and there are two patrolmen in the car, or better, they're walking around. The cities that have patrolmen walking around, that's where I feel the safest. The more giant lights, the bigger the Klieg lights, the bigger feeling of safety that I have. Does that make sense? I need the big Klieg lights. I need the policemen sitting in their cars or walking around. The more human beings I can see, the more 24-hour businesses that I can walk by, the safer I feel. I walk down a block. There's a 24-hour coffee shop, 24-hour diner. I feel fine. No problem, because I know I can, I can go inside and I can get safe. Where don't I feel good? I don't feel good in any parking garage because I've seen too many detective shows. Nancy in Brooklyn, welcome to the Red Apple Audio Network. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, good morning. I just happened to grasp that you have a problem with your cat that's urinating in the house.
Yes.
I assume he's spayed, right?
Yes.
Neutered. He's neutered.
Yes.
You brought
yes.
him to the doctor and had him checked out to make sure he has no issues?
He has no issues.
Or anything
he
like
has
that?
No issues. He has no
yeah.
issues.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's basically probably, it's what do you call it, behavioral. I had 7 cats, and I do have one cat. That's
so you have a behavioral problem. You have a behavioral
yes.
problem.
Yes. And what you
cats.
Have to do is you have
yes.
to get this enzymatic cleaner.
Doesn't work. Doesn't work.
You have to.
Doesn't
you
work,
tried
Nancy.
It. I don't know what brand you.
I've tried it. It doesn't work. I've tried the relaxers. They don't work.
Yeah.
You know, when you put those on the wall, and it, no, none of it works, Nancy. But I'm grateful for the call. And where do you live in Brooklyn?
Well, put wee-wee pads where he pees.
That's a good idea. That I haven't tried. That I haven't tried.
Yeah,
that we will
try. Because I have wee-wee pads everywhere. But eventually he will stop. You have to give him positive feedback. There's something between you and him that he's not happy.
Well, that's what I need, isn't it? I need a cat to be ticked off at me. I have three daughters, a wife, and two female cats. Now the male cat, you're telling me, has some issue with me. Oh, my God. Thank you very much for the call, Nancy.
Yes.
I appreciate it. At 800-848-9222, Will, Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, welcome to the Red Apple Audio Network with Walter Sterling. Hi. Hi, Will. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Well, I'm an old man. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. It just dawned on me just now. They keep showing the video of the guy trying to get in. But where the heck is the video of them leaving the house?
Sorry. Where
is the video? Where is the video of them leaving the house?
The reason we haven't seen video of them leaving the house is that's not nearly as interesting to watch as their big eyes against the camera. That's my hunch. It's not good TV.
Well, it could be some sort of evidence of what they're wearing.
But didn't we see that he was wearing a leisure suit and a weird crocheted ski mask?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I don't even know why it's not even coming up, because any little piece of evidence could help, even them leaving the house.
Yeah. So what do you think happened at Savannah Guthrie's mom's house? What do you think happened?
Well, I think it's one of these crazy drug cartels trying to kidnap for money. And another crazy thing is, did they pay the ransom?
No. The reason they didn't pay the ransom is there's no return address. It's a really weird kidnapping where they don't have a human to say, yes, they're alive, give us money, and we'll give you back the human. There's no human. There's no body. There's no live person. And there's no return address. It doesn't say, send us the money here. Okay, that's no kidnapping.
Wow, it's the craziest thing I ever heard. But I was just wondering about the video of them leaving.
No, that's a really good question, Will, but that's not the case. Thank you for the call. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Walter Sterling. Sam, hold on a second. Sam Asghari was married to Britney Spears. This is the other big story, that Britney Spears, shockingly, was arrested for alleged drunk driving. And Sam Asghari, her previous husband, said, oh, you know, we have to be understanding. The things she's been through, they're not easy. It's tough for Britney to be Britney. And he's making excuses for her. What is he really doing? What he's really doing is making an appeal to her. I will support you. I will back you up. But I want money. That's what he's going to do. He's going to say, I want money, because nobody who knows Britney and nobody who knows alcoholism would ever say she's going to be fine. You have multiple DUIs, allegedly. You're not going to be fine. You need to get sober. And there are very few good ways, proven ways to get sober, but that's what she needs to do. That's what she needs to do. I have many challenges coming up today as we approach dawn. My biggest challenge on any given day, besides, is there a check engine light? Is there water in the basement? Is my printer? Now, maybe this has happened to you. Maybe this is your experience. Everybody seems to like their computer, but nobody likes their printer. I have never heard anybody say, right, Matt? I've never heard anybody say, I love my printer. Have those words ever come out of a human being's mouth? I don't think so. Nobody has ever said, I love my printer. They'll say, I like my computer. but I don't love my printer. I have now wasted 2 days because I do this radio show, and I need to print things out. I need to print out articles, right? To be able to sound wise and educated and smart, I need to print these things out and be able to read them to you with eloquence and a professionalism that I absolutely don't have. For 2 days, I have tried to get my new printer to sync with my iPhone and my laptop. So far, it's not happening. And it's a Canon printer, and it has a weird little figure eight button. And every time I look at the instructions, it says, push this figure eight button. If you had this experience with your printer, it says, push this figure eight button. And I push it, and I've pushed it, and never has the computer synced up. That is my experience. Linda in Port Jefferson, have you had this hell with your printer? At 800-848-9222, Walter Sterling with Linda. Hello, Linda. Hi.
Walter, you've kept me up all night. I enjoy you so much.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Is there nothing going on? Are you married?
Not at the present time.
I'm sorry. I feel bad for men. That if Linda isn't married, I feel bad for all men.
Ah, thank you. And they call me the crazy cat lady. How many litter boxes do you have?
Such a loaded question, because I, too, am a cat person. I know why you asked how many litter boxes. The answer is I have three cats, and I have three litter boxes. But the real answer, Linda, the real answer is they only use one.
Okay. Try another litter box, and try another litter, but... I'm down to three. I feed a lot of feral cats at a colony, but I've had cats all my life.
Me too.
They only use one?
Yes, I know. These are neurotic cats. They only use one litter box. I gave them three.
They're all neurotic.
They're crazy.
Try one more.
All right. I just want one more.
And I buy cat's pride litter in Walmart. Well, you can get it from Chewy also. I get everything.
What's it called?
Cat's Pride.
Cat's Pride. All right.
It doesn't matter how it smells, but try one more. Couldn't hurt. Okay.
It couldn't hurt. You could save my walls, Linda. Thank you very much for calling from Port Jefferson at 800-848-9222. John in Texas. Welcome to the other side of Midnight with Lionel. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was listening to the last caller, and I just thought in the very beginning of that case that they had to dig that video up to see his face, and that the Ring doorbell was or whatever that service is, it was broke. He broke it.
Is that what happened? The guy broke it?
Yeah, I think after he put the weeds in front of it and all that other stuff that it was smashed. I'm not sure, and that's why he wasn't recorded. Or now that I'm thinking about it, they said that he went out the back door, which had no camera. But I thought at the very beginning they said he broke it, and they had to dig that video up. If you remember,
John, where in Texas do you live?
Houston, Texas.
All right. Now I love Houston, Texas for two reasons. One is, believe it or not, in much of America, you're not going to believe this. In much of America, if you say in the restaurant, I'd like to have an iced tea, they will say, we don't have iced tea. And then you look at them and say, do you have ice? Yes. Do you have tea? Yes. You have iced tea. Whereas in Houston, if you say, I want tea, they know it means iced tea and a very big glass, and it's very cold and it's been steeped all day. Is that about right?
I think they just call it sweet tea.
That's different. That's pre-sweetened. I don't want that. It's too sweet. I want it unsweetened so that I can oversweet it myself.
I don't know. I don't get icy throat.
And the other thing about Houston that's terrific, besides the women, is you have Mexican food. You have the right kind of Mexican food. It's the kind without rice.
Yes. Tex-Mex.
Exactly. All right. I think we've had a good chat here today, John. Thank you very much for calling the Red Apple Audio Network. I do appreciate it. Carol in Chicago, listening on WGN. Welcome to the Red Apple Audio Network. Hi.
Hello there. When did you get the male cat, before or after the females?
Brother and sister, same time.
Oh. And were they feral or were they bred and birthed in a home?
It'll break your heart when I tell you. They were found in Florida on the side of a highway nursing from their dead mother.
Poor babies. Okay. Ooh, that's really rough. So the girl's using the litter box. Why don't you just get a larger litter box? Mm. Really a large one. Because I was going to say one of the tricks with feral cats is, it sounds disgusting, and it is, but you fill the litter box with dirt. I just go get dirt from Home Depot or Menards, whatever, Lowe's. And then you start removing some of the dirt and replacing it with some of the cat litter until they get accustomed to the feel, the smell. I never use scented. Never.
No, we never use scented because my wife hates it.
I hate it, and you know what? If I hate it, what do they smell for?
Well, they don't like it at all, Carol. Do you have any other information for us?
No, yes. I've got a little bit. You know, back in the day, 77, we had a Brock Candy fortune here, and the heiress, Helen Brock, disappeared. And they finally declared her legally dead in 84. But nobody's ever found her body. And a few people, I think, did go to jail or they were held or there was a jury. You know, it was so many years ago, but it was a biggie here in the Chicago area. And this whole thing sounds very similar to the Brock kidnapping case and never found the woman or, you know, it was just that. And I have a feeling history might be repeating itself.
Well, Carol, it's a tragic story. It's a mess, and I appreciate your call. Thank you very much for calling, Carol, at 800-848-9222, the Red Apple Audio Network with Rhonda in New Jersey. Welcome to the big radio network, the largest all-night show in American radio. Hi.
Yes, good evening or good morning. I the very interesting show. I'd like your take on a program that was devised from 1953 to 1964 on how the CIA used mind control and try to wipe out the memories of subjects. There was a Sidney Gottlieb. He was a scientist, and he used either hypnosis or LSD to wipe out memories of people. And part of the memory was people who had claimed to see UFOs. I just want to know your take on it, because if this becomes public about UFOs and people have written about it, like Whitley Schreiber on Communion, will this totally destabilize the world, because people won't be able to grasp the significance of these extraterrestrials and their impact they can have on us, because they can take people against their will. They can actually paralyze you during these abductions. So I would just like to know your take on basically mind control and what the CIA is doing to try to hide this information from the public.
Rhonda, do you have an opinion?
My opinion is that I believe they are trying to hide it from the public, because if people believe in religion, whatever religion they can believe in, Christianity, Judaism, whatever religion is out there, this will destabilize their beliefs, because what is the role of God when you have these extraterrestrials who are somehow semi-gods that can paralyze a human being and take people against their will? We had lived in Florida many years ago in Fort Lauderdale, and my oldest daughter had claimed that she had seen a being green, these little green men. I never pursued it, but according to Whitley Schreiber in his book, they could appear out of nowhere, and they could come in, and their bodies can pierce walls. So
yeah, just like my in-laws. Yeah, just like my in-laws, exactly.
They could just appear, you know, they can change their body form. So my question is, with this mind control experiment, and it was really an illegal experiment, people were hurt, their lives were ruined. Many of these experiments, and many of these CIA agents work with Nazis scientists.
All right, stop there. Yes. The minute you go off the Nazi cliff, we have to stop.
Yes.
How long did you live in Fort Lauderdale?
Yes.
How long did you live in Fort Lauderdale?
I lived in Fort Lauderdale for about 2 to 3 years, many years ago.
Do you remember the FINA gas station on Los Olas Boulevard? Do you remember that? There was there was one gas station in Fort Lauderdale. Do you remember that?
I don't. I'm sorry. My memory is weak. I don't quite remember that gas station. I'm sorry.
All right. Let me tell you, and I appreciate it. I will answer your question, but let me tell you a quick story about Fort Lauderdale. And thank you for the call. I've never been in such a hurry to leave any place as after living in Fort Lauderdale for 1 year, because I'm an introvert. I don't want to casually know you. I don't want to casually have a relationship with you. I want to be alone. My goal in life, my mistress is solitude. I have never cheated on my wife. I never would, because I'd be caught immediately. In 2 seconds, I would be caught. Never cheated on my wife. Wouldn't occur to me. But my mistress is solitude. And I had a unique car in Fort Lauderdale. I had a Chrysler TC. If you know, you know. I had a Chrysler TC. I'm driving down Los Olas Boulevard, and I pull into the gas station. And the person who owned and ran the gas station, Wally's dad, comes at my car from the front, walks toward me from the front of the car. And I saw him. I saw him come out. I saw him walk toward me to the front of the car, come to my window, and said, "What do you want?" I said, "Fill it up, please. Do you want me to fix the rear headlight?" I'm like, "How do you know my rear headlight is out? How do you know?" "I was behind you last night." "Last night?" "Yeah, I was behind you last night." "No, no, 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 no. No, when Wally's dad knows my car well enough to know that we are out of a headlight, a rear taillight, a taillight, time to leave Fort Lauderdale." Left as fast as I could. To answer her question, I believe the issue and the reason why all the UFO information has not been released is two things. One, the minute it gets announced, the government is no longer in charge. There's something else in charge. If it is, in fact, extraterrestrial with superior technology, we will all bow down to that. Oh, we could win wars with this. Oh, we don't have to do any work. All these things have already been solved. Time travel, light year travel, all of it solved. We no longer need to watch the government. Number two, there's no more profit. If we know that the UFOs came down, and that they have been sold to major corporations and reverse engineered by major corporations, we know where all that money went. We're not going to like that. Governments no longer have control, and then we're going to find out about the abductions. And I believe that Dwight Eisenhower made a deal. He made a deal in the early 50s which said, "We are going to give you all this technology. In exchange, we'd like 100,000 Americans a year so we can experiment on human beings." That's what I think the issue is. 800-848-9222. The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel and Walter M. Sterling with you tonight.
The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel on the Red Apple Podcast Network. The Other Side of Midnight with Lionel.
Oh, look at this. My gosh. It's 53 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling for Lionel on the Other Side of Midnight. Julie in Jersey Welcome to the Red Apple Audio Network.
Good morning. I just want to comment on the Nancy Guthrie case.
Yes, please, because in my opinion, she's been dead since that night.
Okay. But it used to be years ago, if there was a car in front of your house for that didn't belong in your neighborhood or on your street, it was you thought it was somebody maybe casing the neighborhood.
Right.
But since the invention of Uber and Amazon and FedEx delivering all these packages and stuff, people can actually case your neighborhood quite easily and see and know who lives alone. I mean, I live on a cul-de-sac. I do not get Amazon. But at the end of the cul-de-sac, there are people that get 20 packages a day. They get food delivered every day. And they'll stop, like Amazon, and rearrange their truck in front of my house, block my driveway.
Right.
You don't know what to do. And
no.
I'm just saying, we've invited so many strange people to come in through your neighborhood, stop, look around, go slow. At night, they even come with flashlights, making deliveries all times of the day, all different weather conditions and stuff. And these people, you don't know who's coming around. And I just wanted to comment that we've invited, privacy isn't privacy anymore. And I can see it more because I'm on a cul-de-sac at the end of the street. And, like I said, I don't get things delivered, but there's people that live off of Amazon and Uber and stuff. So that was my comment.
No, Julie from Jersey, listen. Aren't you spooked living on a cul-de-sac? Every time I've been on a cul-de-sac, I'm like, I could never live here. I would feel claustrophobic immediately. Don't you feel that?
No, because at the end, there's a field at the end of my street.
Oh, see, there's so, openness at the end of your street.
Yeah.
Where? What town in Jersey are you, Julie?
In the Meadowlands area.
Got it. Now, were they Meadowlands before it was turned into a cul-de-sac? Was it like true Meadowlands?
In my street, no.
Got it.
But it
I
was
appreciate
before.
The call. No, I appreciate the call. You must live near Lodi, which is where the WABC transmitter is. Russ in in Chicago. Welcome. What is that? Chicago? Where do you live, Russ?
Northwest Side.
There you go, buddy. How are you doing tonight? What can I do for you?
Well, I was at work and whatever, but I heard part of your program about the cat. Is there just one cat that you have there? Or?
I have three cats, two girls and a boy, and the boy is trouble. Is trouble.
Okay, yeah, he's a troublemaker. Well, you got to get rid of it. That's all. It's just like a dog, but you love your animals and you got to take care of it. And maybe this cat has a story to where you were so compassionate with it, but if the cat can't react to being normal, what are you going to do with it?
Exactly. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much for calling, Russ. Walter M. Sterling. I have an email. It's walter.sterling@wabcradio. And this is a giant radio show. This is the biggest all-night show in American radio. There's nothing bigger. I didn't say it was anything other than the biggest all-night show in American radio. But look at what we've covered. Look at all of the things that we've learned tonight. We've learned about the fact that Jennifer Runyon, the woman you had a crush on from Charles in Charge, she passed away. She was only 65. Gorgeous. Just a gorgeous woman. She was Jim Runyon, great Chicago, great Cleveland disc jockey, and she passed away. We learned that the thing that annoys me most on any given day is my printer. The last printer I had, I took and I didn't throw it away. I took it, I opened the back door, and I threw it on the ground till it smashed. Because nobody has a good printer story. We learned that Walter Sterling believes that the Savannah Guthrie case, and I won't talk about it again because everybody talks about it, but I really needed to get to say some things. I believe that she passed away for whatever reason. That night, the night she disappeared, she was gone. Why? There's no return receipt. If you're going to have, if you're going to demand a ransom, you're going to put a return address. This is where you send the money. That hasn't happened. And in order to have a kidnapping, you need a body or you need a person to say hello. The greatest gift you and I can receive is a request for help.
Thanks for listening to The Other Side of Midnight. If you like the podcast, share it with your friends and listen anytime at WABCRadio.com and download the WABC Radio app. Hit that subscribe button on all major podcast platforms. Plus, follow WABC on social, on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and X. See you next time for a new episode so you never have to wonder,
what the heck is going on here?
Listen to this podcast now on the Red Apple Podcast Network. The Leadership Thread with Dr. Peggy Polonis.
I'm Dr. Peggy Polonis. Join me on each episode where I unravel the story that shaped leaders, tracing the thread that led them where they are today. Because leadership isn't born in adulthood. And thank you once again for joining us on the Leadership Thread, Education, Ethics, and Sustainability.
Download all of Red Apple Media's podcasts right now through your favorite podcast platform.